Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here are the two people that are your idols of podcasting. Here we are, back together. I am Rob Cisterino, back with the first lady of podcasting, Nicole Cisterino. Nicole, how are you?
I'm good. I'm nervous.
Okay. Nicole is back here with me talking Survivor, I think probably for the first time on a Survivor podcast, I think since last season's preview. Did you do anything with me during the season 38?
No, but I did do something with Mike Bloom.
Yes, you were on the RHAP B&B, and I believe that I'm hearing rumors that that might be happening again soon.
I guess I'm a hot commodity.
Yes. Okay. So Nicole is back here with me to talk about everything that's going on as we head into Survivor 39. And I get very excited about this, Nicole, because it was 9 years ago this fall that we did the very first cast preview of Survivor Nicaragua.
And there was less pressure then because no one really listened.
There was less pressure. The castaways did not know who we were.
Yes.
I don't believe that there was one person who was in the cast that probably listened to that podcast.
Mm-mm.
I think there might have been maybe 30 people that listened in total.
Yes. And last year, Aurora assaulted someone thinking it was me.
That's yes, that Rachel Panhorst ended up getting the is this the wife?
I have a name, okay?
Yes. And she said yes because she is a wife. But not leave her alone. Okay. So, here we are. Very excited to do this because I never get to really hear what you say about the Survivor season.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
we watch it separately now.
We watch it separately. And so this is really the first time that we're going to compare notes. I'm going to hear what you have to say. You're going to hear what I have to say. Nicole has a incredibly filled glass of wine. This is the most wine I've ever seen in a wine glass.
Well, I just want to be prepared in case this goes long.
In case this goes long. Okay, so we are going to talk through 20 people in one podcast.
One whole podcast.
In one whole podcast, that's right. So we're going to start off today talking about the Vokai tribe, and then...
Who comes up with these names?
I think that a lot of times they're based on words. I'm not sure what the Fijian translation is, but they're going to run out of Fijian words.
They're making things up at this point.
Eventually, I'm sure that it is Fijian for something.
Yeah.
And then they're going to be taking on the Lyro tribe. We will talk about them second. We're going to flip around the order that we did all of the Josh Wiggler interviews that Josh and I have gone through, all of his interviews. Those are all up in our podcast feed at robhaswebsite.com/iTunes, the Survivor-only podcast feed for some of you who have been joining us after a long hiatus, after not talking with us because we've been doing so much Big Brother during the summer. That's at robhaswebsite.com/survivor podcast. So all four of those interviews or all four of those podcasts with Josh's interviews from Fiji are up. I also talked with Bryce Isaiah, the host of the new Purple Pants podcast in our Rehapos feed.
One of our favorite people.
Yes. And him and I went through everything when we were alone together in a Holiday Inn Express recently, Nicole.
Sounds dirty.
And so we got into everything. He just looked at people's pictures and then predicted how they were going to do. But today, you and I are going to do a deeper dive into the bios of these people and give our predictions. Yeah, as deep as we can get. One of the things that I've noticed here, you know, that you and I have been doing this for 9 years, predicting how people were going to. Yes. Okay. You and I have been doing this for 9 years. Uh-huh. And I think that I have noticed that Survivor has stopped casting as many outright weirdos.
Yeah.
I feel like that they used to, I'm not going to name names, that you'd come into the season and there'd be like four or five people that, where did they find this person?
Mm-hmm.
What a wacko.
What a weirdo.
What a wacko.
They also took away a lot of our material. Like, we don't have a lot of material to work with.
I feel like that there is not a lot of fodder to make fun of or rip on. I don't know if it's a conspiracy, but I do think that Survivor has sort of made a conscious effort to find, okay, let's see if we can find 20 people you could root for.
Well, I think they did it this season.
It's a good cast. I think it's going to be a fun group. Mm-hmm. I'm very much looking forward to seeing how this is going to play out. But it makes this exercise harder where...
My weirdo radar did not go off.
Not as much as it used to. So I feel like that they used to just look at these people like, what is this person? Where is this going? What are they doing here? And not the case here with this cast of Survivor 39. Now, Nicole, this is going to be Survivor Island of the Idols. Are you familiar with the format? I'm interested to know.
I'm so confused. I mean, I watched the videos.
Yes.
I know there's, you know, Sandra's, she's over there and Boston Rob's over there and they're going to go to them. I'm not sure how or why they're going to them, and they're going to be mentored and then they can challenge the teacher.
Yeah.
If they're foolish enough.
Yes. So I think they will have the opportunity to win advantages by they're going to have like a lesson plan. This is from what I understand, that each time somebody gets sent to the Island of the Idols, they will have the opportunity to learn from Rob and or Sandra. And then there will be some sort of a quiz, a test.
Who wants to go on Survivor and take a test?
Yes. And so if they end up passing the test, they can end up getting an advantage or they can end up losing. Do you remember back in Ghost Island?
Is it like a
Scantron? No, I don't. Well, hey, where's your pencil? So remember during Ghost Island that there was a whole thing, do you want to play a game? And it was just basically like pick a, you know, one of the, which box has the advantage in it. So I think they're trying to spice that up a little bit. Okay. And that's what we're getting here.
Spicy.
Okay, so we'll see. We don't know a lot about how that's all going to play out with Rob and Sandra.
What kind of lessons are they going to be teaching them?
They're going to learn how to make fire. They're going to maybe learn how to lie. They're going to learn how to make
How can you teach somebody
catch
how to lie?
A fish. I don't know. Well, that's what we're going to find out. But we don't have to worry about that too much tonight because we're talking about the cast, you and I. And now we have not got to do our regular podcast in terms of talking Survivor, where we talk every single week about Survivor. But the patrons of Rob's podcast are no stranger to hearing from you frequently, because for our patrons on the patron-only podcast feed, Nicole is a weekly guest on the patron 5 for 5. So you are no stranger to podcasting.
Yes, the patrons get quite a treat.
They get quite a treat. Sometimes about the shows, but often not.
Yes, and sometimes I scroll through my memory and come up with some crazy stories.
Okay, so we hear a lot of crazy Nicole stories.
Yeah.
So if
you
enjoy this podcast here with Nicole, you will enjoy the patron 5 for 5. But Nicole, let's get to our task at hand here to begin going through this. And again, we're going to start with the Vokai tribe, and they're going to wear purple. Are you a believer in the purple versus orange thing?
What do you mean?
That the purple tribe always beats up on the orange tribe?
You think I know that?
Well, I guess not. So you don't think so. Okay. So we're going to start off talking about Mr. Dan Spilo. And I have a little bit of a treat for you guys in terms of something that we're going to try to do. That on the Survivor, CBS Survivor Instagram page, they've made sort of like little highlight reel videos about... I think about everybody, but because that this was the most condensed Survivor preseason that they've ever had, Nicole, and I know you prefer that.
I do.
You know,
yes.
Not a lot of dragging it all out. You just get right into it.
I like get to the point and take it out.
Yes, and so that's what Survivor did here. Basically, I think we had something about like maybe a 2.5 week Survivor preseason here, where the show's premiering on next Wednesday, the 25th. I think we got the cast on September 9th or something like that. So very quick Survivor preseason. And so that I presume that they're going to drop one of these on everybody, but that there's some people that you, if you drew the short straw, Survivor Instagram has not posted your profile yet.
Sorry.
If you had, if you were lucky enough to get one. So to get used to this, this is what the edit is going to be like for most of the survivors, where sometimes you're not going to get a confessional and some of you are going to be waiting for your Instagram video to drop. But in the case of, I think there's a, you know, a good, most of them are up now.
There's like 12.
Yeah. Okay. So Dan is one of them. So first, let's hear about Dan. We'll hear a little bit from Jeff Probst, and then you and I will talk about Dan. Here is a little bit about Dan Spilo.
Dan is going to be a force out there. You know, he's a talent manager in Hollywood.
In my business, I have to get actors to make the right, sensible decisions without them feeling like you've bossed them into doing it. And at the end of the day, it has to be the right decision or they'll end up firing you. And in some ways, you have to feel no sympathy for everybody else who doesn't get the role. And in this show, to some degree, that person who you're trying to get out becomes kind of a competitor to your client who is some other person you want to move further along with you, and that person's got to go.
What's working against Dan is he's very excited to play. And if you come out of the gate too fast, people see it. They sense it.
The beginning strategy, to position yourself simply wherever the most people are. Because I've watched too many times where six people are here, three people in the water, and the six people just look at each other and go, and that's it. Just be with the biggest group.
Okay, Nicole, that's Dan Spilo. Did you like that?
I feel like he's wearing the same outfit you wore on All Stars.
Well, that's a bad start. Hey, I hate people that wear that outfit.
Yeah.
I had a long sleeve.
But it was a red shirt.
It was, yeah, orange-ish.
No, it was red.
I still have it. It's orange.
Okay,
it's
it looked red.
It's not a red shirt. And then I did have a blue bathing suit.
Yes.
Okay.
So I'm obsessed with you that I knew that.
Yes. You're like a stalker. I can't get rid of you. Okay. So Nicole, let's talk about Dan. And of course, he is the talent manager. He comes in here with a lot of experience from working in sort of a corporate environment. We'll jump around the bio a little bit. His hobbies include adventure travel. I don't think I would like that. Adventure travel. Yeah. He likes movies and he likes fitness.
Mm-hmm. So does everybody on this in this cast.
And his pet peeves are trouble dealing with stubborn people, but I respect EQ as much as IQ, ignorance, and closed-mindedness. And three words to describe him are hardworking, articulate, and charming.
Mm-hmm. I think he is very articulate.
Yes, definitely. So, Nicole, what's your opinion on Dan? Can he make this work?
Well, when I was reading his bio, I read the bios before I saw the video. I saw like talent manager, and I was like, oh, he's a dadager.
Dadager? You think that he is somebody that he is the father of somebody who is a talent? He's like the Michael Lohan.
That was my first assumption.
That was your thought. Yes.
Yes, but I was very mistaken.
Right. At what point did you realize that that was not the case for Dan?
Well, when he said that he was a Hollywood manager, and then he talks like one.
Okay. So I think for Dan, I think the challenge is going to be that I don't know who he's fooling necessarily, where, like, I know that Mike White, are you a fan of Mike White?
He's okay.
Yeah.
I liked emojis.
So
I like emojis.
Mike White, I feel like, was not an intimidating presence. Unless he's yelling at you. Then he can be, more intimidating.
Or you laugh.
Yeah. So Dan is, I feel like more of a presence. And I wonder necessarily, how is he going to be under the radar? How is he not going to be seen as a threat? I think that the people who are older and end up being a little bit more like ostracized from the group. Although this is an older cast, but
it's mixed.
It is mixed in terms of the ages. I mean, it's not a Big Brother cast by any stretch of the imagination. But I am worried about Dan in terms of that. I wonder, can he not be too much of a boss out there? And how is he going to be able to hide from people?
I thought that when he started talking, I thought that he was intriguing, and he was. You know, he wasn't a large, like he is a physically large presence, but his, like in the way that he speaks, it wasn't a large presence. Like he gets to the point and I didn't feel intimidated.
Okay. Nicole, how are you feeling about Dan?
I feel pretty good about him.
You feel pretty good about Dan.
Especially because I feel like everyone here is a fan and is going to be enthusiastic.
Yes. Okay. All right. So he is a longtime fan of the show, has a great story about coming up in the business that he told to Josh Wigler in Josh's interview with Dan. Is Dan going to make the merge, Nicole?
I hope he does.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not asking about hope.
I know. I know. I hope he does.
You hope he does.
But I'm not feeling great about it.
Not feeling great about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I will say, yeah, I have to. I think that the arrow is pointing down. I think he has a lot to overcome. I think that he needs to, you know, get in with, as he talked about it in that video, needs to get in with a big group up, you know, at the start of the game. I think he's very vulnerable at the beginning. And then if he can make it to the merge, I think he can hang around.
Yeah.
And so he really needs to worry about not being seen as too much of a person calling the shots where...
Yeah, if he can keep it, you know, monotone like he was, I think he's good.
Monotone?
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't very animated, which I think is good.
Okay, so the animated is bad.
Well, it draws attention, no?
I think you want to be a little exciting. I mean, I don't think you want to be too much confrontational, but I think you want to be, you know, have a little bit of spark.
Well, he sparked for me.
Okay, all right. That's Dan. All right, let's go and let's talk about Jack. No Instagram video for Jack.
My notes are all out of order. Okay, so but I'll
talk you through this because I've got a computer open here where I'm going to show Nicole the picture of who we're talking about. Jack is our resident surfer-looking guy that we need to always have
some
guy
yes.
with long hair.
Yeah,
and that is Jack this season. Okay. Want to hear some more about Jack?
I do.
Okay.
Look at his smile. He's so happy to be here.
He's happy to be there.
His hair is blowing in the wind.
He's from Newport News, Virginia. He is a graduate student. He enjoys CrossFit, listening to and singing musicals.
How many times do you think we'll hear about CrossFit?
You don't hear about it a ton on the show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that the CrossFit people like to talk about
it. First rule of CrossFit, always talk about it.
You know, are you a CrossFit hater?
I used to be.
You used to be. And now what?
Now I want to dip my toe in it a little bit.
Stephen Fishback got hurt doing CrossFit.
Well, sounds about right.
He had to have shoulder surgery because of CrossFit. So be careful. That he also likes all-you-can-eat sushi.
Who doesn't?
I don't know. I'm not crazy about all-you-can-eat sushi.
You took me to an all-you-can-eat sushi once.
How was that?
You didn't like it.
Yeah.
I loved it.
You loved it. I feel like you're not getting the greatest sushi on all-you-can-eat sushi.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah. And exploring the world. His pet peeves are being wasteful, rudeness, people running in place at crosswalks. Is that a thing? Is that a lot of...
Joggers? What do you want them to do? They're trying to keep their heart rate up. You should know that, CrossFitter.
I think CrossFit, you do it just in the CrossFit box.
Mm-hmm.
You don't go out to the crosswalk. And loud eating. He would not like a Christy you. From Big Brother. Me? I'm a loud eater?
You're kind of a loud eater.
I'm a kind of a loud eater?
You're a loud gum chewer.
A loud gum chewer, but that's not eating.
Well, you're a little loud at eating.
Okay. All right. I'll take that.
I'm a sloppy eater.
Sloppy eater? Why, you make a lot of crumbs?
Yeah. I miss my mouth sometimes.
Because you don't pay attention.
I don't pay attention.
Okay. Three words to describe you. A determined... dreamer and social.
Yeah. Look at his picture.
He's a happy guy.
I saw a video of... You don't need the Instagram video. What you need to watch is his audition video. Did you see it?
No. Where did you see his audition video?
I saw it on YouTube.
What? You YouTubed Jack Nickting?
No, I just YouTubed Survivor 39 cast, and I got some of the audition videos.
Okay. Should we play it?
Play the part where his mom is brushing his hair.
Okay.
And she says it's a rat's nest.
All right, let's see this. This is Nicole is breaking some stories here that Jack's video is on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see.
It's pretty good.
I like to watch people's YouTube videos. Hopefully there's no ad.
When I was 3 years old, my finger got bit off by a shark.
Oh, we got bit by a shark, too.
I didn't know that.
That's some bad parenting. You let your kid get bit by a shark at three?
Okay, hold on. We're listening to Jack.
Oh, sorry.
Hello. My name's Jack Nicktee. I am 22, and I am in my house, at my mom's house. I'm currently in grad school at James Madison University, getting a master's in public administration. I graduated from the University of Virginia last year. Although I am still in the career of being my student, I am ready to make the leap into survival.
Okay, he's diving. Hey, I think you get Jack is. Okay.
But I mean, there was a part where his mom was combing his hair.
All right, let me see if I can scrub through.
It was very sweet.
And get to, you watched the whole thing.
I did.
Okay. All right, so this is like towards the end of the video here, about a minute and 40 seconds.
You rock a great look. My mom plays a big part in that.
If you want to have this kind of hair, you have to take care of it. It does look cute, but not when you got, like, rat's nests.
Rats don't have nests.
And I know, it's weird.
That is a funny visual, that he is a grown man, and his mom is sitting him down on the ground.
And he has his hair over his head.
Right. What, Jack, what are you doing here with this hair? It can look cute, but I don't know about this, Jack.
It's like a rat's nest.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. He also called his mother a goat.
A goat?
Yeah.
Yes. So she's the greatest of all time.
Yes. I think that is so sweet. Greatest He's a mama's
mom.
Boy.
Greatest mom of all time.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. All right. I've only heard Anthony call you worst mommy ever.
Why did he say that?
I forget what he wanted to do. He's three for anybody who is new to the podcast. And Nicole didn't let him do something that he wanted to do. And he said, worst mommy ever.
And it was like a dagger through my heart.
He's a real jerk.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
But that's him.
Okay. Nicole, how are you feeling about Jack?
In real life, I like him. Mm-hmm. I don't know about Survivor, though.
I just feel like this guy always goes far. He's always going to be
like the Joe Anglum.
He's going to be around. Nobody's going to get rid of him. He's going to be good at catching stuff unless he comes out. And the only way he can screw this up is showmance right out the gate. And, you know, he's going to go have a schmoopy time with one of the women out there. Or the other guys, we don't know. And he's going to just like completely isolate himself from the group or try to like completely have like his own insurrection and play way too hard. But other than that,
I think he's going to be way too excited. Look at him.
He's a happy that you can see he has like an infectious smile.
Yeah.
He's going to be fine. He's going to help them win
he
challenges.
Loves life. Look at that.
Worst case scenario
He was bit by a shark when he was three.
Yeah.
He's going to be fine.
Worst case scenario, he ends up getting voted out like right before the merge mm-hmm. because he's too much of a threat. But
yeah.
Most likely, he's making it to the merge. He's going to win an individual immunity and get voted out at like the final 11.
Yeah.
So, yeah, his arrow is pointing at least up for the short term for Jack.
Short term, for sure.
Okay. We haven't done the would you let this person babysit?
I was just thinking that. I think I would let him babysit.
I think Dan is too busy. Just to go back to Dan.
Yeah.
So.
Who's Dan?
Who's Dan? We've talked about two people. Not Jack. The other person that we talked about.
Oh, the dadager.
Yes. Who's Dan? Yes. So, Jack.
Danager.
Yeah. You'd let Jack babysit,
I would let
right?
Jack babysit. Yeah. I feel like the boys would love him.
He'd be good with kids.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
He can teach Anthony how to be nice to his mother.
Yes. Anything else on Jack?
No, I think that was everything I had in my notes. He was, CrossFit. He played soccer. He was also a mascot. Did you know that?
What kind of mascot? Like AJ Mass? Like Mr. Met?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
And it was a mascot with sweet dance moves.
Okay. Those are the best mascots
yes.
that can dance.
He was very good.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about our third person here. And this is going to be Jamal Shipman. Okay, this is going in the alphabetical order. And we have a video about Jamal. You ready to hear about Jamal and what Jeff Probst thinks about Jamal?
I am ready.
Okay, here we go. Here's Jamal Shipman.
Jamal was one of the first people we called. And I really like his chances in this game. He's a big guy, and he's physically intimidating, but he's really soft. He's a great listener.
I am an associate director of admission. I'm someone who is passionate about education. My profession has set me up really well for success in this game. The way that I intersect with people is as parents. You lock into all of their hopes and dreams for the most important thing in their life. So they're their most vulnerable. And when you connect with someone on that level, the bond is really powerful. I'm gonna go big here and compare myself to Sandra. I think Sandra had a way about her to soften her ideas and make other people feel like it was their idea and it was in their best interest to go along with what was already her plan. I want to emulate that.
Okay, there's Jamal.
Mm-hmm.
Jamal, he's a big guy.
He's a big guy.
He's a big guy. He's from Jersey City, New Jersey. He works as an admissions counselor, K-12. He likes coaching basketball. He likes taking West African and salsa dance lessons.
He's got moves.
He taught himself the bass guitar, and he likes to lose in fantasy football leagues.
Like
those are his hobbies. Yes, yes. Okay, and then his pet peeves are he hates bugs that insist on leaving behind itchy, painful bumps. So do you.
I hear ya.
Yes. He's very upset about this. He says, I don't mind sharing my blood with you, but why the discomfort? Why the ache? It's pretty rude if you ask me.
It's very rude.
Very rude. Okay. All right, Nicole, what do you think about Jamal?
I really like Jamal.
Yes.
I watched his audition video too.
Oh, his audition is on YouTube.
I think his was like 5 years ago he did it. He looks very different. But he has like this really great energy about him.
Yes.
He seems like a really nice guy.
Do you want to hear any from his audition tape?
Yeah, it's really good.
From 2016? Okay. It looks like it's 5 minutes long. Jamal, that's a
big
no-no. You watched the whole thing.
It's actually very well done.
Okay. If it's a well-done video, but we're not going to listen to it for 5 minutes.
The editing is good. He has voiceover. It's really good.
Okay, let's see. All right, here's Jamal.
Hey, Survivor.
Oh, he has dreadlocks.
I'm Jamal Shipman. I'm 31 years old.
That was only 2 years ago.
I'm from right outside of Providence, Rhode Island. You just met the final survivor.
Ooh la la. See, isn't it very well made?
I love adventure. I love getting outside and exploring new places. I've been to Hawaii.
I don't like the backing music.
I liked it.
Look, it's a nice video, but I think it's too polished, too slick.
Oh, I liked it. I thought it was great.
I just want to see somebody talk. I don't want to see...
I want to dance when I don't...
I don't want to see a music video.
It's not a music video.
Okay. But he's fun. He's fun. Yeah. Okay.
He just seems like a really cool, down-to-earth guy. He's very calm. He's traveled. He's educated. I feel like he's going to go far.
Yeah, there's a lot to like here with Jamal. He's like the right age. He's 33, so he can get along.
He's not like an old 33. Because you can be an old 33.
I guess so. And so he seems like that he, you know, has the experience of the working with young people, but he seems like a responsible guy. So I think he could get along with the older people in the group. He is athletic. And so he's going to be somebody who's going to help in the challenges. So I think there's a lot to like here with Jamal.
Mm-hmm. So, I agree.
In terms of winning the game, though, I feel like that he'd be like the biggest physical presence to ever win. I can't think of anybody else that is somebody that, like, I feel like that almost like for people to win, it's almost better for them to be like literally like tiny people that you lose track of them.
Mm-hmm.
That they're like, it's going to be hard for Jamal to be under the radar.
It will.
Mm hmm.
But
although that being said, I'm sort of factoring in, you know, 38 seasons of Survivor that we have had. It's been all, you know, athletic guys that have won the last five seasons. Sarah Lucina, last woman to win.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like this whole season is in really great shape. So I don't know how much that's going to play a factor in this. Like, mm-hmm. Everybody is very fit. Like, their hobbies, all of them were working out.
Mm hmm. Okay. So I think the arrow is pointing up for Jamal.
I agree.
Okay. All right.
And he can babysit.
He can babysit. Yeah, he works with kids. He works with kids. Okay. All right. After Jamal, let's talk about Janet carbon. All right, let's see what we hear and see about Janet Carbon.
Janet is another player that I think was on the show within about 7 seconds of talking to her.
I grew up on the beach. I was a competitive swimmer, and I would look at the lifeguards and say, I would love to do that, but there were no women lifeguards. And what? I tried out, and I became the first woman in 1978 in my town. And now I'm a chief lifeguard,
when I was
which
born.
Is an honor. Okay, it's here. A profession. It's a passion.
She's a massive leader. She's got a bunch of people that work under her.
We have 130 what? Lifeguards on our staff in Spring Lake, and they range from age 15. I think our oldest guard is 64. Our job is 90% easygoing, but that 10%, when it happens fast, and it's life or death.
Janet is somebody that if she gets another couple of women especially, they could literally run the game. She's that confident, that comfortable, that likable, that smart.
All right, let's talk about Janet. She's the 59-year-old lifeguard from Neptune, New Jersey.
Chief lifeguard.
Yeah. That's right. Her hobbies include body surfing, softball. Do you love that?
I love it.
And rowing lifeguard boats.
I like the rowing machine.
Mm-hmm. Her pet peeves include laziness, being wasteful, three words to describe you, aggressive, enthusiastic, and vivacious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. That's the second person that said wasteful as a pet peeve.
I don't like waste.
Rob really doesn't like waste.
I don't like waste.
Yeah, I get in trouble a lot.
I don't like wasting stuff, mm-hmm. Okay? It makes me sad. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's why, you know, we have one episode of Survivor and we make 19 podcasts. We don't want to waste.
Wasting.
We don't want to waste any part of the Survivor experience. Mm-hmm. But, okay, Nicole, what do you think about Janet?
Unfortunately, I didn't get much from her.
Mm-hmm.
She's a chief lifeguard. She's in great shape. She's going to be a great swimmer.
Mm-hmm.
She said that she comes off tough, but that's not true. But I feel like it is.
Yeah, I think she's pretty tough. I mean, yeah. She says that three words to describe you are aggressive, yeah. Enthusiastic, and vivacious.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, I think that's pretty tough. The challenge here for Janet is going to be, you know, she's the oldest person here.
She looks great. Sorry,
the oldest woman uh-huh. here, and the oldest person on this tribe, and I believe Tom is the oldest person on the season. And so, I mean, that's sort of a thing where, you know, historically, oldest woman is often a frequent early target on Survivor.
Yeah.
It's going to be a challenge for her to fit in. And mm-hmm. I think that she really does fit the mold of somebody that we saw back only a couple of years ago, you know, like Katrina Radke,
right.
Who was, you know, oh, look, I got to vote her out. Her and Chrissy Hoffbeck, that's the mom squad. and she was like a really good swimmer who was strong in the water. And that first challenge, unfortunately, does not look like it's going to be a swimming challenge because based on what we're seeing in the Instagram videos, looks like it's going to be another big obstacle course and not something where they're going to be in the water. So she may not even have the chance to demonstrate that she's going to be able to swim.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll have to see how she fits in with the younger people. I feel like as a lifeguard, I feel like that you do interact with a lot of young people.
Yes, and she's the chief lifeguard, so she has to manage all of the youngins.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So she thinks that she could be like Stephanie because she's athletic, she can read people, and she has the necessary skills. I think she's a longtime fan of the show. Mm-hmm. So
she must know that she's going to be an early target because of who she is.
Yes, but hard to get the target off your back mm-hmm. when...
Unless you tone it down
mm-hmm.
And try not to get the mom vibe.
Try not to get the mom vibe. Okay, mm-hmm. You know, I think that Reem last season knew, hey,
yeah.
I'm not the mom. I don't uh-huh. have the mom vibe. But then...
But she was.
But then...
You are who you are.
Push comes to shove. Yeah. Hard to change it up. So I feel like that overall, I'd say that the arrow is pointing down for Janet.
Mm-hmm.
But
sorry.
Okay. We'll see. We'll see.
But
she could babysit because you want somebody who can be... We don't have a pool, but if we did, you'd
we
want somebody...
We have a little baby pool.
Yeah. Like a kiddie pool. But you really don't need a lifeguard for that. Like really, anybody with eyes could be the lifeguard for that pool. Like, oh, kid's drowning.
Probably should do something about
kid's
this.
Kid's face down in the water. I'm just going to go over there and pull him
and
out.
And pull him out.
Yeah. So you don't need a pro lifeguard. But mm-hmm. good to know if we
just
ever
some common sense.
Yeah, went somewhere. Okay. Nicole, let's talk about our next person. Let's talk about Jason Linden. Jason, like you and I, hails from Long Island.
Yes.
And let's hear a little bit about Jason in his own words and from Mr. Jeff Probst. Here's Jason.
Jason is one of two personal injury attorneys we have this season. Total coincidence.
I don't give off the best first impression. Sometimes I talk too much. Sometimes I get snappy with people. I'm not like one of the bigger guys. And I'm this little snaky personal injury attorney from New York. There's no way. I would be like target number one. They'd be like, you, get out of here. So that's why I'm not going to tell people I'm a lawyer.
But what he's good at is making a story fit the narrative that he needs it to fit. And I think he's going to be a very good player.
The beginning of the game is the shut the heck up strategy. Be cool, lay back, don't be the first to do anything, don't volunteer for the puzzles.
And if he can get through a couple of tribals and just get settled in, he could be a real threat to go very deep.
I'll be able to do the shut the heck up strategy long enough to get me through the beginning of the game. And once I feel like I have my footing in this game, it's going to be game on.
Okay, there's Jason, Nicole.
Jason.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hear a little bit more about Jason. Of course, I mentioned that he is from Plainview, New York, originally.
Mm-hmm.
And
you spent some time
yes,
there.
Yes, I spent some time. Not a lot. I mean, I grew up in a town called East Meadow, and then my parents moved to Wantagh,
mm-hmm.
Where they still have a home. And then I lived, after I got back from Survivor, the Amazon, then I went to go that my very good friend, Justin, while I was gone, that he was, long story, he was living with my parents, that he was like homeless, and my parents took him in, and that he found a place for us to live, and that we had an apartment or like a house in Plainview.
Mm-hmm.
We lived over there.
Okay. Yes.
For a couple of years. All right. His hobbies include sports, music, and learning new things. His pet peeves are bullies. Hey, we all hate the bullies.
Yes.
Slow walkers. And when somebody coughs or sneezes without covering their mouth.
You know, he should be more sensitive to the slow walkers as mm-hmm. a personal injury attorney. Maybe they were injured.
maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. But that's why it makes him so mad that they're like, these people are walking slow and they haven't been compensated.
Well,
if he would
slow down, he might be able to ask if they need compensation.
Yeah. Three words to describe you: charismatic, determined, and direct, Nicole.
I can see direct.
Okay. He talks a bit about the shut the heck up strategy with Josh and about how he is going to try to keep his opinions to himself in the game, Nicole.
That will last approximately 2.5 seconds.
Yeah. It's hard to keep things in.
Yeah.
So he says,
especially when your job is to talk and to persuade people.
What Survivor contestant are you most like? He says that he's a mix of Stephen Fishback, Adam Klein, Cochran 2.0, and Rob Cesternino, and weirdly, a little Tony Vlachos. Buckle up, baby. It's going to be a wild ride.
That's an ugly baby.
Oh, Nicole, how dare you? How dare you? And then, just to go back to the interview with Mike Bloom. Mike Bloom has extensive long-form interviews with all of the contestants. And he asked the Survivor contestants about who you're going to play like. What type of contestant are you going to be like in the game? And so this is what Jason had to say to that question. Mike Bloom asked, give me a Survivor winner and non-winner you want to play like. He says, I look like Rob Cesternino, which everybody says. Who's everybody?
I can kind of see
How many people know what I look like?
Yeah.
Is it the Survivor people?
It's like, the beard.
Nobody said that in real life, I wouldn't think.
It's the people in his head.
Is that what?
It's the people who talk to him in his head.
The funny thing, he's from Long Island too, in a similar town to where I came from.
Yes.
Then he says, I really like Adam Klein. I think he and I have similar upbringings. As for a non-winner, it'd probably be Stephen Fishback. Again, it's that nerdiness and anxiety. I think I'm better equipped to handle the elements that he did his first time out. It is yet to be seen if I can break a stick. So I like the Stephen Fishback shade additionally here from Jason. Yeah. And so in terms of look-alike, that if Jason wants to say it, then I'll take it. I can see it.
I mean, I wouldn't confuse you guys.
I was retelling this story recently from, we were in New York for, we did the Big Brother live show last week, and we have the big after party, which is really fun, and we get to hang out with all the people that come out to the show, and there was a woman there, and she was trying to say at the party that she was like, hey, you and my boyfriend look, you guys could be twins. You look so alike. And I could read on this man's face. He was horrified. He was so insulted.
He was not. That
he was like, he's like, I don't know. I don't see it.
I think that he was not a Survivor fan, and he just didn't want to, or was, a Big Brother fan, and didn't want to be there.
He was mortified.
No, and this man, the only similarities was the plaid shirt and the beard.
You know, that his girlfriend was like, no, you guys look so much alike. I felt bad that his feelings were hurt so much. That I felt bad for me and I felt bad for him.
I think that you completely imagine this.
Okay. All right. Let's get back to Jason. Okay. Jason, how do you think he's going to do?
I think that he is a pre-merge.
Pre-merge? Mm-hmm. Why, Nicole?
I don't know if he's going to fit in with the rest of the tribe.
Mm. Yeah. Why do you think not?
I think, like he said it himself, he can get snappy.
Yes.
No one likes a snappy crab.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he likes his opinions.
I think that he will be okay. Here's what I'm worried about with Jason.
Uh-huh.
In terms of the, hey, I'm not going to say anything to anybody. If he's going to be sort of like, okay, I'm going to like just be quiet.
I don't believe that he's going to do that.
Okay, well, I don't think he should. I think that's worse than being talkative and being, you know, if his personality is outgoing and talkative, I think that he should be himself. And I think that he will present as being cagier by being quiet. I think that the shut the heck up strategy, I think, is one of like, well, this guy's not talking to me, so he must be up to something.
Yeah, I think I have a bias against him because...
why?
Because when you watch a lot of daytime television, there's lots of commercials for personal injury lawyers.
Good news, he's not going to tell people that he's
okay, but still, I know. And he's the reason I constantly drive it with my hands at 10 and 2 with my eyes on the road, fearful of...
You're being biased. You're not being fair. Okay.
I admitted it.
Mm-hmm. All right. And that's your only bias against Jason?
And he looks like you.
so vote him out. Vote him out. Okay. All right. So you feel like he's not even going to make the merch?
No.
Okay. What about babysitting?
Don't they get enough of you?
Okay. All right. So, Nicole.
It might confuse them.
Too confusing.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, I think that Jay's, I mean, I don't think he's going to win, but I think he can figure this thing out.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Let's go to our next person, Nicole. And after Jason, we have Kelly Kim. Let's hear a little bit about Kelly from herself and hear what Jeff Probst has to say about her. And tell us that...
Why is she pointing at me?
tell me if you think that Jeff Probst got a good vibe from Kelly.
I'm really excited about this group of people. I'm a little bit sad that we have to vote someone off, and hopefully it's not me.
I'm concerned about my pedigree. I'm an MBA student at Wharton, therefore coming off as like too smart. I have really been trying to figure out how I can downplay being less of a threat in that way. How do I be dumb?
Let me show
you. Maybe I should just zone out and be like, what?
The first time I met Kelly, my first impression was she makes you work for everything. I don't think it's a chip on her shoulder. I just think her attitude is, I don't know if I'm interested. Convince me. Typically on Survivor, you want to meet people where they are. Kelly's more like, I'm not into that. What else you got? I'm really attracted to her point of view in life, and I'm curious how it will translate on the island.
I don't know, Jeff. I feel like that Jeff is kind of saying like, when I met Kelly, she could not seem less interested in anything, and she was unimpressed with anything that we had to say.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very interested to see how that's going to work for her.
Yeah.
I think that was a lot of like backhanded compliments from Jeff.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. I feel like Jeff wasn't feeling it.
He didn't even crack a smile.
Yeah. I mean, he can't say, he used to be a little harder on people. I think he used to rough people up a little bit more.
Remember what he called? Like
John Fincher is a poser. Yeah. And he's like, but I mean that in a good way. So sometimes he'll like say something that's sort of like a, not a compliment, but sort of like spin it like, and I mean that in the best way possible.
Yeah.
So yeah, he didn't think that Kelly, seems like she's engaged too much in anything, and you have to convince her to be excited about things, but, he's interested to see how that's going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
Her hobbies include, Settlers of Catan.
Seems like a Stephen Fishback thing.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Skiing and soccer. Her pet peeves are people who wake me up while I'm sleeping. You hate that.
Mm-hmm.
Or try to talk to me while I'm falling asleep.
Don't have kids.
Yes. Don't have kids.
Mm-hmm.
Where we were on the airplane the other day. We were coming back from New York, and Nicole has a real cushy gig on the airplane where, you know, there's four of us. So she's off on the other side of the aisle.
By myself. And I'm talking to nice strangers.
In the middle seat, in charge of like connecting headphones to iPads and getting on the Wi-Fi.
Well, because you're good with that stuff. I'm not.
Operating all the electronics. And then when I like doze off for like a second, Dad, you were sleeping. Like, oh, okay. Thank you.
Thank you for fixing that.
Dad, you're sleeping. Okay.
Dad, your eyes are closed.
Yeah. All right. So she's going to play like Kelly Wentworth, athletic, gets along with people. They have almost the same name that she has the E in the Kelly, but she has two E's in
mm-hmm.
Kelly.
I like it.
Okay. Nicole, how are we feeling about Kelly Kim?
Well, I don't think there's a lot of people on the tribe that are going to bond with her over Settlers of Catan.
Okay, well, I'm assuming that she can, she's versatile enough that she can bond with people, even if it's not about Settlers of Catan.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll save her for another reality Game Masters. Listen
to
this.
That would be good.
What's one thing we wouldn't know from seeing a picture of you? She says, I hate mayo. If I had to eat a tub of it to get to the final three, I'm not sure I could do it. And I don't like whipped cream, vanilla frosting, or sour cream. Like any white food, she's out. What about marshmallow fluff?
That seems like she, like, I don't know if she got the assignment right.
She does not like that.
Yeah.
She does not like that. Okay.
Yeah, I just started liking mayo.
You just started. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, that don't have Kelly over. She's not impressed with it.
What would you put for what you couldn't tell about you from a photo? That seems like a weird question.
What's something we wouldn't know from seeing a photo of you?
Mm-hmm.
Could you lie?
It seems like a weird question. And this is a new one.
Yeah, I'll workshop it with Corinne if I ever go back of what to put in.
I bet you wouldn't talk about mayo, though.
Probably not. I probably wouldn't say anything about mayo. Maybe the mayo jar, maybe.
Mm-hmm, obviously.
Okay. Nicole.
Robert.
What do you think about Kelly Kim?
I am going to say that she is a pre-merge.
Pre-merge? Mm-hmm. Why?
I think that most of this tribe is very fit and good at challenges.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if she spent a lot of time playing sports in school.
Mm-hmm.
She has no mention of being athletic. So,
well, hold that thought. What accomplishment are you most proud of, Nicole? Getting onto the Harvard varsity soccer team.
Oh, well, there you go.
It was
prove
a
me
very
wrong.
Long passion and journey. It was a huge accomplishment to be able to play in college.
Okay. All right. So now I'm wrong.
Okay.
Well, this changes everything.
So you think you had her as a pre-merge person because you felt like that she wasn't a good athlete?
Well, that was my first thought, because everyone is just so obsessed with working out on this tribe,
mm-hmm.
or really in this whole cast.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but if she is like what Jeff Probst is saying, it's not going to look good.
Okay. I have a little bit of a far out theory, okay? But she had, in talking to Josh Wigler, a very bad cough. She was coughing.
Smoker's cough?
No, not she was sick. She was sick, and then she was like getting over it. And we, just to go back to Jason for 1 second, in terms of Jason's pet peeves.
Oh, is this the one where he doesn't like when people don't cover their mouths?
His pet peeves are when someone coughs or sneezes without covering their mouth. Now, I don't presume that Kelly would do such a thing.
I think that you slip every now and then. Come on.
He's anti-cough. And here's Kelly with a cough. That happens to be his pet peeve. Is there going to be friction? Is he going to say, hey, let's get rid of Kelly because she's sick?
You know, these pet peeves, it's like judgerson. Like, judge yourself.
Well, Nicole, they asked him, what's your pet peeve?
Okay.
He didn't
but
volunteer
some of them are
that.
So specific.
They're very specific. But that's what a pet peeve is. Like, what's your pet peeve?
People.
Just people?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I hate people.
All right. Nicole, so I feel like that Kelly, I'll say arrow is pointing down, but because I think that people are going to think that she is sick and then use it as an excuse to get rid of her.
Yeah, and she's pointing at us.
Yes, in the Instagram picture.
Yeah.
She's pointing. You don't like that.
No.
Okay. Anthony does that. He does
sticks
his finger in your face. Okay. All right. I'm like Alicia Cowley. Don't ever wag your finger in my face. Okay. Then let's go to, it was Kimmy who was upset about the finger in the face.
Mm-hmm.
And Alicia will always wag the finger in Kimmy's face. Okay.
Let's go
to Lauren. Okay, let's talk about Lauren, Nicole. And I really like Lauren.
Yes.
Let's hear a little bit about Lauren from herself and from Jeff Probst.
There are so many women in my life that inspire me. Women that have played this game. Ceri, Michaela, Dez, Desi, Julia, all the black women that have cleared this path for me to play this game have inspired me.
Lauren, in about 5 seconds, I thought, oh my God, you're going to be on the show.
I am excited for everything. Come on in, guys.
Come on in, guys.
Loved ones visit because I want to show my husband that I can do this. Another great moment for me is going to be when I find that idol. I see it every season when someone you don't expect finds that. And I want that feeling. And I'm going to get that feeling.
She's beautiful inside and out. And the more you talk to her, the more you realize she knows exactly how to play this game.
This game is all about human connection. But if I need to vote out my greatest ally because I know I can't beat them in the final three, sayonara.
Okay. All right. That's Lauren, Nicole. She's mm-hmm. a nanny. So we know that she's already got the babysitting thing down.
I'm hoping she doesn't do well so we can hire her.
Yes. She says that she will eat an entire bag of hot Cheetos in one sitting while binge-watching true crime shows, laughing at my own jokes, writing, blogging, music festivals, talking people's ears off. My stepdad says I have the gift of gab. Thanks, Dad. You've never had a hot Cheeto, right?
I don't like anything spicy.
Yes. Okay. Her pet peeves are people that take a French fry while asking, can I have a fry? I do that.
Yeah. You did that today with dinner. You said, oh, can I have this? And it was already in your hand.
That's one of for people that don't have kids, that's one of the really underrated things about having kids is
you can eat
that you can eat all their food. They tend to get like stuff that's really good
and that you wouldn't normally order.
They don't finish it, and then you get to eat it.
Mm-hmm.
Where you end up like eating a lot of chicken fingers and French fries, and then you don't have to feel guilty that you ordered.
We're just not being wasteful.
Yeah, we're not being wasteful.
Yeah,
and so it's good. It's good. That's good. That's like if somebody's like, should I have kids?
Yes.
Like, well. You get to eat a lot of their food.
You get a lot of junk food.
You get a lot of snacks.
And you eat a lot of Goldfish crackers.
No, I don't like Goldfish.
Me neither.
But that's another story. Okay. All right. So then pet peeves also include people saying literally before every sentence.
I agree with that because it makes you sound dumb.
Yes. She's also guilty of that.
Mm-hmm.
She literally does not care for that. Being late. If you're on time, you're still late. Now she's on like Tom Coughlin time. Talking in the third person.
Mm-hmm.
And clapping when a plane lands. That is annoying.
Well, maybe they're just happy they're alive.
It's weird, but you don't do it on every plane. Just somebody, it's like there's sometimes like one person does it and then
the whole
plane has to join in.
Yeah.
It's very weird. Do you think
don't be a follower.
Do you think the pilot is like waiting and like, am I gonna get applause?
Where's my ovation?
Where's my applause? Was there something wrong with that landing? Did they not like it? Okay, Nicole, tell me about Lauren. What do you think about her?
I like her. She does a Britney Spears impression. I want to hear it.
Yeah, well, nobody has ever heard it.
Well, maybe on an interview for RHAP, she will do the Britney Spears impression.
We hope so. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of good use that could be in the wand off. So
yes.
That
would be good.
that would be great.
Yes. Although she says that she's like Troyzan.
Because he's hot.
Because they're both hot.
Both hot. Yeah.
I want to say maybe you don't have a very big self-esteem then.
Why? Why do you say that?
I don't think Troyzan's that hot. I think she's beautiful.
Nicole, please. Leave Troyzan alone.
I'm much more of a plain view guy.
Nice.
Lover.
Yeah. Okay. Please. Be nice to Troyzan.
Spinning green.
Yeah. All right. So, Nicole. Arrow pointing up or down for Lauren?
Up.
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 Okay, how far up?
I think pretty far up.
Pretty far up.
Mm-hmm. She's going to go past the merge.
Past the merge.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We'll do our winner picks at the end to see. I agree. I feel like that Lauren is going to be around for a while. She just has like such a big personality. Some people.
But she seems nice and she seems kind and she seems authentic and she's a fan. She was, you know, she's coming to play.
There's some people that they just like have such a big smile that just looking at a picture of them is that they're instantly likable.
And she's very nice teeth. Look at that.
I feel like she has that.
Yeah.
And she won Jeff Probst over. That's not easy. Josh was saying that she was the first person ever that people always come up to Jeff Probst and say, hey, you should cast this person on the show. And she's the first person that's ever gotten on the show that way.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Lauren. Okay. Nicole, let's keep going.
Okay.
Through the Vokai tribe.
Let's literally keep going.
Let's literally keep going. And let's talk about Molly. Okay. Nicole, let's hear a little bit about Molly and see what she's up to and what Jeff thinks about Molly.
I took a semester off from law school to be out here. I can't say no to something that I've wanted to do since I was 10 years old. I may seem very sunny and fun on the surface, and then you get to know me and I'm like really intense.
The reasons we love Molly are pretty apparent. She's very sharp and great at appearing to just sort of be just an everyday kind of, I don't know, what do you guys think? But I know from talking to her, she has Survivor whiteboards up at her house with strategy and lines connecting this player to that player and this move to that move.
My goal is to stay under the radar with challenges and have both social and strategic conversations with every single person on the beach. I want to ask a lot of questions. I want to do more listening and watching than speaking for a while and then kind of handpick that ride or die. Then mingle and figure out who else can be in that group of five.
She's definitely a threat to win the game.
Okay. All right. So Molly's out there looking for that ride or die.
I remember all my ride or dies from the beginning. I see who flip-flops. I see who comes back when the times are good. I see who leaves when the times are bad.
Okay. All right. A lot of Survivor fans are confused. Okay.
Yes, they have no idea what you're talking
about. All right. So here is Molly, and she's business. She's down to business. Her hobbies include running, skiing, biking, hiking, reading, board games, traveling. She's talking about the board games with Kelly.
Yes.
Bawling out for delicious meals. What does that mean? Is she cooking?
I'm glad that you said that. I didn't know. Is this what the kids are saying?
Does she eat?
Is she a foodie?
Is bawling out preparing meals? Is it going out to get them? Or does she stuff her face?
I think it sounds like she stuffs her face with delicious food.
I don't know. I gotta look that up. Mm-hmm. Bawling out for... Is it buying expensive meals?
I mean, she's a baller?
She's a baller.
Mm.
We're
two old people here.
I don't know. I just never heard that before. Her pet peeves, she's got a lot, okay? Her pet peeves are being unwantedly touched. We don't like that.
Well, no one likes that.
Yeah. Heavy breathing.
It's annoying sometimes. But sometimes people have breathing problems.
Slow walkers and slow talkers. So she's even, less patient than... Jason,
mm-hmm.
who only hated slow walkers. She hates slow talkers. People who are unprepared at airport security.
Sorry, frequent flyer. Not everybody's that fancy and flies that much.
Maybe she's TSA pre-check.
Mm-hmm.
She hates rule breakers and the assumption that men and women can't be platonic friends.
Well, I have a strong opinion about that,
We don't need to explore that here on this podcast, Nicole.
Yes.
All right. Three words to describe her are competitive, resilient, and vibrant. I want to hear more about her whiteboards of Survivor.
She seems really intense.
I have whiteboards of Survivor up here.
Rob loves whiteboards.
Yes. Okay. Nicole, my whiteboard has a lot of post-its on it. I don't draw a lot with a marker. I have a
Doesn't that defeat the purpose of having a whiteboard? You could just have a wall.
I guess so. But sometimes you could write stuff on it. But,
mm-hmm.
So what's your primary motivation for being on Survivor? She's watched it since she watched Elizabeth Filarski jump off that cliff in the Australian outback. Now it's happening to her.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Nicole, what do you think about Molly?
I really want to like Molly, but I feel like she's too intense for the island.
You think she could overplay?
I think she's going to overplay. She might get a little neurotic, and she's going to scare people.
Yeah. I kind of thought, based on just like looking at her picture, I kind of thought that she'd be more of just like a free spirit, but she's actually like very
quite the opposite
and down to business.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I wonder if she could masquerade that a little bit with her look.
She might be, but I think that, her personality is going to shine through, and she's already talking about, her very specific strategy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's going to play well on the island.
Okay. You think she could be a victim of overplaying?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
So you think the arrow is pointing down?
Yeah, I think she's going to come out playing hard too fast. Too hard, too fast.
Too hard, too fast. Athletic.
Mm-hmm.
Law student. I wonder. I don't feel like she's gonna go far. I would say more down than up.
I feel like she would fit in really well on like a Survivor know-it-alls.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that's we can break out the whiteboard there.
Yeah.
And break everything down. Okay. All right, Nicole. What do you think about Molly? Is Molly the babysitter? Good? She hates rule breakers. So does
Dominic.
Yes.
I feel like her and Dominic might be the same person.
Yes. Okay. All right. So let's talk a little bit about Nora, Nicole. What do you know about Nora? Do you watch any of her videos today? I don't think we have an Instagram video yet for Nora. She has not been chosen by Survivor to get her Instagram big profile.
Sorry, Nora.
Yes. Okay. So sorry about that, Nora.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But Nicole, what do you think about...
Can we get her picture up?
Yes. So she is right here in the middle. This is Nora.
Okay.
Okay. And so...
I think she looked different in the picture that I saw.
Okay. Do you think they switched her pictures?
I think they switched people.
Okay. That she might have... Did they keep the same name?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Smart.
All right. But here's Nora.
Mm-hmm.
That she is an entrepreneur. She's 36. She likes
to... Sells Roden and Fields.
Work out. She creates healthy foods and beverages in the kitchen. traveling, and social media posting on self-help, food, and fitness. Okay. Did you look up any of her social media posts?
I did not.
Okay. I like to be...
So I didn't know it was fitness stuff that she was, you know, sharing.
Oh, so maybe she could be your hero.
Or maybe I could be her hero.
I guess so. Why would you be her hero?
Well, I used to be a fitness expert.
I guess so. But, yeah. I mean, if she's out there doing it now, I'm not sure why you'd be her hero. Like, you could be friends.
Can I, like, have some glory?
I guess so. Yeah. All right. I guess you could be...
Well, anyway, when I saw that she was a social hero. Media poster, I have written down, oh, she's one of those resharers. Like, you know, the people that just mm-hmm. reshare yeah. things. But it's a fitness thing, so that's cool.
So, yeah, she looks like a Nora Knows Best. I think this is her on
Instagram?
On the Instagram. Yeah.
Where's my phone?
So you can also check out her website, norasalman.com. You check that out also. So there she is. But I don't see her sharing a lot of like inspirational quotes or anything like that.
Good. I'm glad.
Although I'm not reading the captions. I'm just looking at the picture. So mm-hmm. maybe the inspirational quotes are in the captions there for Nora. Okay. Nicole, she wishes you health, wellness, and happiness.
Oh, that's great.
That's so nice. Cause I feel like that nobody ever wishes me all three. So that is nice. There's a whole thing. That she was a burnt out CPA practicing for over 10 years in the Washington, D.C. area. Like many, she was living a draining and sedentary life, working 10 to 12 hour work days, shackled to a desk where she'd have to eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And as the years went by in this way of life, food quickly became my greatest source of both pleasure and pain. Oh, it's like Ariana Grande.
Yeah.
What? Some food gave her pleasure. Different. Some gave her pain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Rob trying to be cool.
Nora knows best. Nicole, what do you think about Nora?
You know, I didn't really get that much from her bio, and there was no video, so I didn't really know what to think of her. Mm-hmm. Did you?
Yeah, I thought that, like, I was a little concerned when I sort of, like, just read the headlines. I'm like, I don't know how this is going to play, that this might come off a little bit preachy on the island. But I felt like in her talking with Josh Wigler, I thought that she came across very well. And I think that she is somebody who's going to be an asset to the tribe and fit. And I think
she's very pretty.
If she can go with the flow here, I feel like that Nora could be in the mix.
What was her energy like? Was she like really high
good
energy?
Energy. She had good energy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well spoken.
Okay.
So, yeah. You want to hear a little bit about Nora? Here's a YouTube video for her Lean Out Now
Ooh,
program.
I want to see.
Okay. All right. Here's
so
Nora.
So, is she like a personal trainer?
Let's listen. Here's Nora.
Hi, my name is Nora Salman, also known as Nora Knows Best, and I am the creator of Lean Out Now. I'm originally from D.C. I was a burnt-out business owner that used to come here on vacation, and what I learned over the last 10 years is what the Miami people know that I did not know and you don't know, and that is
I do know.
How to achieve that lean body and the health and wellness that comes with.
Yeah. Now, people are not going to be looking for diet tips on Survivor because there's one thing everybody knows how to do on Survivor. It's get lean.
Yes.
That's the last piece of information that is not useful information on Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody wants diet tips on Survivor.
Definitely not.
So they don't want to hear that. So hopefully that's not, Nora has a more material than that, but it seems like she knows about finances. She's an entrepreneur, so hopefully she's bringing more to the table.
I think she probably has a lot to talk about with her tribe mates because everybody seems to be into working out and fitness, and everybody likes to talk about their fitness.
But people like to talk about junk food on Survivor. They don't want to talk about healthy food.
Yeah, no one wants to hear about the high fructose corn syrup in food that they're like salivating over.
That's right. So when everybody's talking about what they're going to get at McDonald's when they get home, nobody wants to hear about
the saturated fat content.
I can't wait to get home and have a kale smoothie.
Ooh, that sounds delish.
Also, she doesn't drink, never done a drug or smoked a cigarette in her life, just like you, Nicole.
Mm-hmm, we're twinsies.
Yes, yes. Okay. All right. So I feel like that she can go far in the game. Yeah.
She seems very, very much like strict.
Yeah. I could see her a little bit. I haven't heard this comparison made about her that Sherry Beathman, do you remember who she is?
No.
She was from the Survivor, Karamoan. She ended up going to the final three. She was also like an entrepreneur. She was like the leader in the fans tribe in that season. She was going to try to get Shamar to the end and drag Shamar to the end with her. Yeah. But then she sort of like got really mad. She hated Eddie and Reynolds, and then was like fighting with Eric Reichenbach at the final tribal council, but for a while there we thought she had winner upside. So we'll see.
You're comparing her to Nora?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, who else
I was just trying to see where the story was going.
I'm saying that it's going where that I am comparing the person that we are talking about to Sherry Beathman.
I don't know, maybe I just clarifying.
Okay, thank you for making it more clear. Okay. All right, Nicole, one last person from the Vokai.
Wow,
tribe.
I still have so much wine left.
You still have so much wine left. Okay. All right, so let's talk about the final member here of the Vokai tribe and another person from Long Island, and that is Tommy Sheehan, Nicole. All right, and Tommy Sheehan does not yet have... all right, I misspoke. Oh, he does have one. Okay, here's...
Oh, Tommy does.
Let's hear about Tommy from Bayville.
What I love about Tommy is you see this good-looking, big, physical guy, and you think, oh, he must be an athlete. No, I'm a fourth-grade school teacher.
I hated school growing up. I didn't really have any friends either. And my fourth-grade teacher, I remember just pulling me over, and she's just like, I want to help you. What do you need? And I just remember, like, an adult to talk to me like that. She just changed me, and it's because, Miss Bennett, I am where I am now. I look at my 23 kids, and I say, like, I have the opportunity to change their lives every day. So that's why I love my job.
Every mom will like him, and every kid who isn't in his class will wish he was their teacher.
I kind of looked at my students, like, are they going to be upset because I'm playing this game hard? And I go, you know what? They're going to be so pissed if I don't play hard, if I don't backstab, they're going to be my biggest critics. So they'd rather me cheat, lie, and steal. And when this is airing, oh, I can't wait to see the kids' faces.
Why is every mom going to like him? Because he's nice? Or are these thirsty moms out there?
Thirsty.
Yeah. Okay.
We're very thirsty.
All right. hobbies include surfing, sports, and asking questions to his magic eight ball. I feel like that's been done before.
And it was stupid then.
pet peeves. Hates bullies who think they're better than everyone else and talk down to others. Is that a hot take? But I hate bullies.
No.
Pet peeve.
I mean, everybody hates bullies. No one likes a bully.
Yeah. I mean,
but I guess coming from him as a fourth grade teacher, he especially hates bullies.
Bullies. They really make him mad. Mm-hmm. He also cannot stand grumpy and serious people. Uh-oh, Nicole.
Grumpy and serious?
Yes.
So he doesn't want to hang out with Shake and Bake.
Well, hold on. Who what am I?
You're grumpy.
I'm not grumpy.
I'm grumpy. You're serious.
Look, how serious can I be?
You get very serious.
I take what I do very seriously.
You seriously podcast.
I also like podcast about a stupid reality show for 100 hours a week. So
yeah.
How serious I could be. Lighten up. Life is amazing. Let me see that smile. LOL. I feel like that's been a pet peeve that people have had in the
LOL?
Past. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Three words to describe you. Outgoing, competitive, and goofy.
Yeah.
He has a Disney coffee mug collection.
Doesn't he look like Chris Hammond's son?
Oh, maybe. We'll have to ask Brett about that.
Love child.
Okay. Is this possibly Chris Hammond's son?
Yes. You know he lives in Long Beach now?
Yes.
Yeah. We can crash at his house and go to Patty McGee's. Is that still there?
I know about Patty McGee's.
Yeah. I loved it.
Okay.
So I saw a audition video for him.
Yes.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. It wasn't an audition video.
What was it?
I'm not even sure if it was really him. but it was a man who kind of looked like him playing a guitar on stage for people.
Okay. And
that's what I saw.
You saw a man that kind of looked like him.
He had long hair.
Playing guitar. Well, how did that look like him?
Well, he kind of
What were you searching for?
I don't know. It was Survivor 39 cast.
Survivor 39 cast, and you saw somebody that looked like him playing a guitar.
And it had the same name as him.
Okay. All right. I mean, nobody knows what you're talking about right now.
Well, I think you...
I'm Googling Survivor 39 cast.
Google his name.
I did.
Okay.
Okay. So just nobody wants to hear me Google on a podcast. Okay.
It was real.
You want to hear Russell's take on Survivor 39?
No,
he might
I don't.
Be making more sense than you are. And his video looks like it's shot sideways on a 90 degree angle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there you go. All right. Let's just stick to Tommy.
I am sticking to Tommy. You're not sticking to Tommy. Okay.
Well, you're talking about some guy playing a guitar with long hair.
No, it's supposedly him.
Yes. Okay. All right. He nowhere in his bio does he talk about that he plays the guitar.
I know.
Does music.
I think I found his secret life.
Okay. All right.
Secret life of Tommy.
Secret life of Tommy. Okay. All right. Nicole, tell me about Tommy. What do you think? He could do good?
I think he can do really good. I think that he seems like a likable guy. He's a teacher for little kids who's enthusiastic about his job. We've seen this before.
From who?
Ron Clark.
Okay. Yeah, that's his idol.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I bet he has the book.
Yes, the Ron Clark book. Mm-hmm. You think he's watched the Ron Clark movie?
Who hasn't?
Okay. I've watched it. I've watched it on, I think it's on Amazon Prime with Matthew Perry.
Yeah.
So, we'll see. All right. Anything else about Tommy Sheehan?
I think he's going to make the merge.
He's going to make the merge.
Mm-hmm. And he can babysit.
Okay. Will he be the new Chase Rice?
If that video is legit.
Okay. Let's see. Tommy Sheehan performing Drift at So Far Gold Coast.
Yeah, that was it.
This is it?
That
okay.
Was it.
Let's see if this is the same.
Does it look like him?
The same guy. Okay. All right. This is...
Ooh, very, very pretty.
Somebody with...
his long hair.
Is it? Let's see. I don't know.
It's very beautiful music. Yeah,
somebody said good luck on Survivor in the...
See?
In the comments. But, uh-huh. Yeah. I don't know. I think the jury is
just
still out.
Just fast forward a little bit.
Yeah.
The audience is really into it.
Yeah, I don't want people to go to sleep. Yeah. Okay. All right, there you go. There is some music. All right. Nicole.
Robert.
So that was Tommy. I think the arrow is pointing up. A lot to like about Tommy.
Yeah.
A lot to like. That he seems like that almost... It's hard to like come up with fan fiction where he's going to be bad.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like a very... likable, articulate, smart guy who knows the game, physical. So unless everything goes sideways for him, like that Russell video that I saw on YouTube, then I think that Tommy's going to be around for, you know, I think that very reasonable winner pick.
I think he's the guy that gets close to the end that they have to get rid of, but they can't get rid of, but then they finally get rid of because he's such a threat and they know that he's going to win the game, but they have to get rid of him.
Okay. All right. Nicole. Before we talk about our other tribe, our Lero tribe, Nicole.
I'm going to drink some more wine.
Well, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends. All right, this is one of your favorite sponsors over at KiwiCo. Nicole, can you describe what KiwiCo is for anybody who is a parent or an aunt or an uncle or a teacher or a guardian of kids?
KiwiCo is a box. It's a subscription box that comes every month, and they have different boxes for different age groups, and it's all STEAM learning. And basically, you can sit your child down for about an hour, and he won't bother you.
Yes, that he
or she yes, won't bother yes, you.
That not everybody just has sons like you.
I know, sorry.
Yes. And so STEAM, as Nicole mentioned, that's science, technology, engineering, art, and math. And what this is that you get a box, and mm-hmm. it is very reasonable and affordable before you even get the first month for free with our promo code. The monthly option starts just $19.95 a month. So for
and it's fully worth it.
$19.95 a month, you get this box where it's basically like a project that you work on with your kid. And then when you put the project together, the actual project that you did is a toy that they can play with.
It's a win-win.
You're putting stuff together. Your kid is learning. You're doing stuff together. And then they have something to play with. And you don't have to go to the store. It's coming to you month after month. They've got kits for kids of ages 0 to 16. Each box comes with all the supplies that you need for that month's project, and you get to work on it together. Your kid's going to be excited when it shows up. You're going to be the hero. You're super busy. You're on the go. It can be tough getting everything done that you need to do for your family, taking the kids to soccer practice, but you can get in some quality time together, work together with your child to create an engaging and exciting project. KiwiCo is a convenient, affordable way to encourage your children to be anything they want to be. There's no commitment. You can cancel anytime. The monthly options start at just $19.95 a month, including shipping. Nicole, I know that you are in all these mom Facebook groups. You're involved with, you see stuff like this all the time. How good of a deal is that?
This is an amazing deal. You get your first box free. And even if you have two kids, you get both of them free.
So go on over to KiwiCo. That's KIWICO.com/Rob. You get your first month for free. Every day counts when it comes to making a difference. So don't miss out on this amazing opportunity. Again, that's at KiwiCo.com/Rob to get your first month for free. That's KiwiCo.com/Rob.
Tommy the teacher says go get it.
don't put words in his mouth, Nicole, but lots teachers. If you're a teacher, this is a good idea.
Yes.
Okay. Some guy with long hair on YouTube says, writes a song about it.
Yes.
All right, Nicole, let's talk about the other tribe, the tribe that is trying to buck the trend of the tribes that wear orange doing bad. And we are going to talk about the Laro tribe. And so we're going to start here with Aaron. Aaron Meredith is up first, and unfortunately for Mr. Aaron, oh, he does have a video. Okay, let's hear what Jeff Probst has to say about Aaron Meredith.
Aaron is a huge guy, and at first, people are going to be intimidated by his physical presence.
Coming in, I'm definitely going to tone down who I am a little bit so that, you know, I can just be that average guy to blend in as much as I possibly can, which I can't, but socially, I want to try to blend in.
But what's interesting about Aaron is, even though he's a gym owner and he's full of muscles, in his heart, I think he relates as a dad.
I am a father of a 5-year-old son, Kellen. My role as a father, I'm going to not be the father figure. I don't want people to look at me like the father figure. I think it's going to be difficult for people. It's to be a provider, to fish when I need to fish, to go get firewood, to build a shelter, to consistently make sure that people are as comfortable as possible. That's going to be my role at camp. And then be that physical guy, but not be the hero. So I want to really tone down that side of who I am. I'm a super competitive person. So that's going
to
be tough.
If he can somehow downplay that and get people to not get rid of him simply because he's big and athletic, he's a real threat.
Okay, Nicole, Aaron Meredith, he's another big guy here on this season, that he is from Uncasville, Connecticut. His current residence is Warwick, Rhode Island. He's a gym owner. He likes lifting, traveling, and outdoor activities. His pet peeves are ignorance. Me too.
Yes.
That's one of my pet peeves.
Yes.
Driving slow in the left lane and lazy people. Mm-hmm. And then three words to describe you. He says attractive, intelligent, and strong.
Yes.
So there you go.
My pet peeve are people who describe themselves as attractive.
Okay, you don't like that. You don't ever do that?
Let me make that assessment.
Okay.
Yeah.
He has a very interesting background. I actually really enjoyed his first one out interview. I think that I enjoyed it more so than you would maybe think. You just see a picture of him, see gym owner. I thought that he actually really came across as very intelligent. I thought that he has an interesting background in terms of physical training, and then also that he has some interesting businesses where he had a party boat business, he has a kettle corn business. So I think he has a lot of things that make him uniquely qualified to work with people.
He's a mover and a shaker.
Mover and a shaker.
Although his voice doesn't quite match his body.
Okay. Well, I'll let you say that, and I'm not going to say that.
He'll beat you.
Well, what did I do? I didn't do anything. Yeah.
If you say it.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm just saying I was expecting a much more like Arnold Schwarzenegger sort of voice.
Okay. Well, you get...
Maybe
you
not
get
with the accent.
You get Aaron. Okay. Yes. All right. Nicole, tell me what you think about Aaron.
I thought that...
He's a dad also.
He's a dad. He's got a five-year-old. Like, mm-hmm. you know, we have a five-year-old, so he's probably very stressed out mm-hmm. and enjoys going to work.
Yeah.
He owns a gym. I think that's pretty cool. That is, like, my dream one day.
Mm-hmm.
He seems like he knows how to play the game.
Yeah.
But he seems like he might get hangry.
Might get hangry. Okay. Yeah. So where are you getting that from? Does he say anything about that?
He's a big guy. He's, you know, he probably eats a lot of protein, really, you know.
There's a lot of big people. Why are you singling Aaron out for being hangry? He's the biggest?
I think he's the biggest.
He's the biggest? I mean, I think it's between him and Jamal.
Yeah. I feel like...
I don't know. I guess he laid law with these guys also.
I feel like Aaron is like really into nutrition and getting the right macros in.
Yeah.
Yeah, this might be a challenge for him.
Okay. All right. So you feel like that his hangriness is going to hurt him in the game?
And I completely just made that up. That might not even happen.
Yeah.
I know. That's
it's just definitely not going to happen.
It might. Yeah.
I mean, there have not been that many people in 39 seasons of the show that their hangriness really was a factor.
I'm sure there was.
Not really.
I'm sure there was.
Okay. All right. But what do I know? What do I know? Mm-hmm. Okay. I feel good about Aaron. I really do. I think that...
Yeah, he seems like a nice guy.
He's 36. I really like that age for Survivor. Like mid-30s, I think that that's like the ideal age to mm-hmm. be playing Survivor. Not over the hill like me. I never played in that sweet
Robert,
spot.
Robert, stop it. Because you are the only person in existence that gets this much hotter as you get older.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, keep going. Okay. Nicole.
And that butt.
Nicole. All right, Nicole. People don't want to hear this. Okay. So... I say thumbs up on Aaron.
Yeah, I think he's gonna do just fine.
Okay, all right. After Aaron, alphabetically, let's talk about a woman named Chelsea Walker, and she is somebody who is a digital content creator. And let's hear a little bit more about Chelsea.
All right, tribes, let's see what today's got in store. But first.
Chelsea has been in our mix probably longer than any other person who has not yet gotten on the show.
Survivor, Survivor has been a dream of mine since I was 8 years old. You know, I was told no time and time and time again, and I found a way to turn that no into a yes.
This season, it was a perfect fit. She's a player. She's manipulative. She's driven.
She's
leading
a
up
player.
To getting on Survivor, I had 4 gym memberships. You know, I watched old challenges. I took screen grabs and I memorized them. I don't want to win Survivor. I need to win Survivor.
She could overplay in the beginning, but if there's any part of her that can say, let me assess before I assassinate, she can do really well.
I think what I need to do is, you know, just keep a low profile in the beginning. And then as we get past the, you know, the first couple tribals, that's when I can start making my big moves.
Okay, Nicole, Chelsea Walker.
You know why I'm laughing. Yeah.
That we used to know a girl who had the last name Walker, and somebody said her name in that particular.
She pranked her and was like, Kelly Walker.
Yeah. I wasn't gonna say who it was. Okay.
She doesn't listen.
All right. There you go. All right. So inside joke just for Nicole. Yeah. All right. So her hobbies include working out, going to the beach, soccer, rooting for Philly sports teams, and watching Curb Your Enthusiasm.
You know, Chelsea, I liked you until you said that Larry David is your inspiration.
Yeah. Well, I love the Larry David strategy of Survivor, that I feel like that's the way to go.
He's the most annoying person in the world.
No, but he's brutally honest to everybody. I think that's the way it is a good strategy.
That's not. It is. I can't get through life like that.
Yes, well, that's why it's counterintuitive. It's a good strategy.
Yeah.
Her pet peeves are chunky dad sneakers.
What are chunky dad sneakers? I wear chunky sneakers.
Trend that made a comeback and makes it look like you have bricks strapped to your feet. Because you're short.
I'm short.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Bulky, unflattering, and yet everyone is wearing them. Why suddenly, after we all agreed to put these to bed...
Who made this agreement?
Yeah. Is this material? Is this stand-up? Three words to describe you. Driven, competitive, and scrappy. She really hates those sneakers.
Mm-hmm. When I meet her, I'm gonna wear mine.
Who or what is your inspiration in life? Larry David, because he respects wood.
Oh, don't get Rob started.
Respects wood on Survivor. Mm-hmm. You need that good burning wood. Be careful out there. All right, Nicole, let's talk about Chelsea Walker. Okay.
Yes.
All right. What do you think?
I like her. I think she's.
She bought Jeff Probst a drink.
She bought what?
That in her interview with Josh, she talked about how she saw Jeff Probst out one night, and that she was at the same function that he was at, and she sent a drink over to him when she was going through casting.
Oh, well, what drink was it?
I don't know.
Was it a beer? Was it champagne? Was it a martini?
I have to ask her.
That's a good move.
It's a good move. It didn't get her on the show that time, but eventually she did get on the show.
Mm-hmm. Well, it worked.
Yeah. I really do like Chelsea. I feel like that she is the super fan,
yes.
Mega fan.
I feel like they're all super fans.
Yeah, I feel like that.
And
she
I feel
can,
like it's a good thing for the super fans because they won't be as annoying because there'll be another annoying super fan.
There'll be other annoying super fans. Yeah, I feel like though with her, for whatever reason, I feel like I'm not as worried about her playing too hard.
She seems like she's got a sense of humor. She's funny.
Yeah.
She's going to keep everybody entertained. She seems like someone you want to keep around because she's good to be around.
I feel like that she can be chill about it and not necessarily play super hard. I don't think anybody's going to be looking to be gunning for her.
I feel like she's someone you're going to have to watch out for. Because she's going to be all of a sudden at the end.
Yeah. I think she's fun, and I think that she's not going to have a big threat level where people are going to be gunning for her. She doesn't seem like she's going to get on people's nerves.
She'll be good at challenges. She works out. She had like 17 gym memberships.
I think she'll be fine at challenges, but not so good that people are gunning for her. So I like that. I like that. Okay. Chelsea Walker.
I think
the arrow is pointing up for Chelsea, okay? Mm-hmm. Would you let her babysit?
I would.
Okay, all right.
And she's going to make fun of my sneakers.
Okay, yeah.
I'm going to leave them lying around.
Yeah, you know, hide them. Hide them. Well, what about Aaron? We didn't talk about Aaron. He's a dad. He could babysit.
I feel like him and Anthony would get along.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about Dean. And Dean is somebody who, this was weird for me. The way that I did this was that I talked with Josh about his interviews before I saw pictures of the cast.
Uh-huh.
And Dean did not match up with me what I thought he was based on when I heard him talk. So I don't know if it's another Aaron situation.
Okay, I don't even remember what he looks like.
Okay, let's learn a little bit about Mr.
I remember now.
Dean Kowalski.
When I first met Dean, all I saw was the swagger. But you dig a little deeper and you realize I'm showing
too
you
much
one
swag.
Thing.
I don't think that's
I may
swagger.
Show her something else. I may show those two people a completely different side of me.
I like to think about our place in the universe And then I like to go spray paint like basketball courts in New York City. So keeps life
That's
interesting.
That's illegal.
I think a couple ways sales has prepared me for this game. That hunger and that drive, I think, is necessary when we talk about like outlasting people. Also, like the ability to get along with different people and perhaps read different people. I hear salesman, I think like sleazy, slimy, he's strategizing somehow. I feel like there's a lot of red flags that can perk people's ears up. People say he looks relatively athletic and played basketball. He could be a beast at challenges. So like these things I'm going to try to subdue.
I think he's going to take a while for people to get used to him. But once you do, I think you'll like him more than you ever imagined you could.
Okay, there's Dean. Yo, what is he doing spray painting basketball courts?
What is he, 12?
I don't know. Is he Banksy?
Yeah.
He's doing graffiti?
I don't know. I hope he's not doing graffiti and then doing those moves.
I don't know.
I don't even know what to call those moves.
I don't know. He's from Westfield, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. He lives in New York City. Hung out with Mama C one time in New Orleans.
That was fun.
Yeah, baby. His hobbies include basketball, crafts, and DJing.
All right, he's got me at crafts.
Okay, I think I say DJing. His pet peeves include people honking in dead stop traffic, people from the back pushing up a couple of rows upon the airplane landing, and roommates leaving dirty dishes in the sink for prolonged periods of time. You don't
My
like that either.
My roommate does that too.
Your roommate also loads the dishwasher and empties the dishwasher.
Not every time.
All right. Three words to describe you are jovial, observant, and likable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Proudest accomplishment, achieving the highest success rate of all Miami Algebra 1 teachers for students passing the end of year exam. Okay.
Okay. So he's
very specific.
A good teacher.
Okay. But he's not a teacher.
Maybe at one point he was.
He's in tech sales.
Okay. Well, he's
achieving the highest success rate of all Miami Algebra 1 teachers. For students passing the end of year exam,
did they make that up?
Did they get the bios mixed up? I don't know. Okay, let's not get hung up on this. Mm-hmm. Okay, one thing that we wouldn't know from seeing a photo of you: I recently grown to appreciate astronomy, physics, and our place in the universe. All right, Nicole, tell me about Dean.
So wait, he's basically just into astrology.
He's very deep.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about Dean, Nicole. Are you feeling it? Jeff Probst says you'll be surprised how much you're going to like him. For Dean.
Dean, I feel like Dean will be just fine.
You think he's gonna be fine?
I think he'll be fine.
Yeah.
I'm not digging the moves though and the poses.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it like he looks very high on marijuana in his picture.
Of course, that is not allowed on Survivor.
No, so that's no. And
look.
In most states.
Yes. Okay. Some states, yes.
Yes.
Yes. But not the one that he's from.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm worried about Dean. I think that Dean is somebody, I feel like that historically, this person, I think, is going to maybe come on too strong.
Or have a showman.
I think there's too much going on here with Dean. It seems like that he's an athlete, and I think that that's good, but I also feel like he seems like he's like a little bit of a showboat,
nerves.
a little bit. I think that you want to be humble out there, and he's with a lot of people that maybe are going to look at maybe is he going to be too much of the tall blade of grass and ends up getting chopped down because of that.
Well, Aaron described himself as attractive, so I think that they're all kind of...
Yeah, but Aaron, in his interviews, wasn't like, look at me.
Yeah.
And Dean, in just that short profile that we watched, was like very showboaty.
Yeah.
And I think that in Survivor, I think that you don't want to stand out too much from the crowd.
He reminds me a little bit of Tyler.
Tyler.
Yeah.
Tyler Fredrickson?
I believe that's his last name.
Okay. Yeah. In what way?
They just kind of, he resembles him.
Okay.
And I don't know. I just kind of get the Tyler.
Because
the
that's
Tyler
not
vibe.
How Tyler was on the show.
No. And Tyler, I love Tyler in real life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm worried about Dean. I could see Dean maybe being pre-merge.
Yeah, I can see it.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like he'll get on people's nerves.
Maybe. All right. Let's go from Dean. Let's talk about one of my other favorites on this season. Let's talk about Elaine Stott, and let's hear about Elaine from Elaine.
Elaine is going to be an early favorite.
Meow.
Meow.
Nailed it.
I think one of those players on Survivor that is a one-name player.
Elaine should be a stand-up comedian.
Be a stand-up comedian.
There's never been anybody like Elaine on the show.
Oh, now you're just blowing smoke, but I love it.
And I think people are going to instantly know who she is and root for her to win this game.
I want to use that stupid Hawaiian sling, and I want to catch some fish. Every season, it's usually like the big men go out, and that irks the crap out of me. It's like, girls, go get the sling. Tell them you want to go fishing. Like, just jerk it out of their hands and go. And well, I'm going to catch more fish than Rupert ever thought about catching. You know, like, that's my goal.
Not on my watch.
My strategy is I want to be everybody's sidekick. I want somebody to be my Ricky Bobby. I need to be Cal Naughton Jr. and win the damn thing in the end. You know what I mean?
Do you know what she's talking about with Ricky Bobby?
Is there racing?
Ricky Bobby was one of the Survivor contestants from the International Survivor.
Oh, I think I rooted for him.
Yes.
And you're a freaking liar.
That's Talladega Nights.
Yeah.
Talladega Nights. Okay. All right. I love Elaine. What's not to love about Elaine?
Totally. She is going to be the fan favorite for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say Sia money, but I don't know if Sia likes people who fish.
Is that what she doesn't like?
I don't know. She's killing an animal. I don't think Sia likes that, right?
I don't think she cares about fish.
She doesn't? I don't know. I don't want to make an assumption.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know. I feel like that she's not necessarily... I feel like that Sia really...
I know she has a type.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So here's Elaine, and she's from Woodbine, Kentucky, not too far from Nick Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing a state with Brent Wolgamott also. Her hobbies include four-wheeling, fishing, and taking my boat to the lake.
Nice.
Her pet peeves are guys who think women aren't their equals, girls who think they need to use their body to get ahead. Uh-oh, watch out for that. And people who think they're you-know-what don't stink.
Mm-hmm.
We hate that. Three words to describe you. Independent, stubborn, and kind.
Okay. I can see it.
All right. People think I'm a real hard ass, but I'm actually a big softy. What Survivor contestant are you most like? I think I'm most like Rupert. Rough and raw on the outside and a big marshmallow on the inside. He seemed like a very kind person, just like me. I love you, Elaine. That should be my giant head out there, not Boston Rob or Sandra.
Yeah, I bet he is pissed.
I carried Sandra on the Drake tribe.
Okay. All right, Rupert, settle down.
And I caught fish for Rob. I taught him how to use that Hawaiian sling.
I didn't know we invited Rupert tonight.
Sorry. Can't help it. All right. Nicole, tell me about Elaine.
I mean...
Obviously, she's going to be in the final three, but did she win 10-0? Nine, does somebody else get a vote?
If she's in the final three?
Yeah.
Probably not.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Does Elaine get targeted because you say, hey, if Elaine gets to the final three, she will definitely
she
win.
She will win. For sure.
Yeah.
I mean, these are people who are fans of the game. They mm-hmm. know how this works.
Yes.
So she will be in trouble, but she'll make it pretty far. And she'll be loved by all of America. So you know what? You are the winner.
But is it like too obvious that she's going to win? And so does the likability and just the fact that she's got a great story of that she works in a factory 7 days a week, that if she gets to the end, she's definitely going to win. Nobody, it's like, well, I won 19 challenges and
I voted, fed you every
never
day.
I never voted wrong. And I won, I took somebody to the final four fire making challenge. And it's like, yeah, but Elaine. Voting for Elaine to win.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see when she took the spear right out of that guy's hand?
She jerked it out of his hand.
She jerked it right out of his hand.
She jerked that guy real good.
Yeah. Okay. Take it easy.
That's what she said.
Yeah, we heard you the first time. Okay. All right. Nicole. So for Elaine, I'm worried about that. Where the history of Survivor, where Nayanka wants to vote out Kelly Bruno? That because she has one leg. Yeah, that I have to vote this person out because that if the girl with one leg gets to the end, she'll win. Survivors can be very mean.
Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any Nayankas on this tribe, mm-hmm. so I think she'll be okay initially, especially if she keeps feeding them.
Yeah, but these are big fans.
Mm-hmm.
They know people are going to love Elaine.
Yeah.
They know that we're going to all be standing Elaine.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
I'm worried about her. Don't forget, Lauren Rimmer almost was voted out in the pre-merge in Survivor Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers.
Mm-hmm.
And then, if not for some, you know, crazy scenario, I think at the final seven in that game, she could have won that game.
Yeah.
So, I'm feeling like that maybe people are going to know. So, I don't think I'll pick Elaine to win, but I'm hoping that she at least gets to the jury. I think she can.
Yeah.
I think she can.
I think she'll make the merge.
Okay. I know she's going to be tough. Will she perform in the challenges?
Well, she's got a good work ethic.
Mm-hmm.
And she seems like she's got some endurance.
Yeah.
So maybe.
Okay. We'll see. We'll see. I don't know how much like of a runner she is. I don't know how much of a swimmer.
Yeah.
She doesn't have a boat, so maybe she could swim. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But we're loving Elaine.
Yes.
All right. Here's somebody who can swim. Let's talk about Elizabeth Beisel, Nicole. She, I do not believe, has a video posted to the CBS Instagram yet.
Well, that's a shame.
But does she have like Olympic videos that you want to comment on?
I did see a video of her talking about her retirement and how she had a book. She wrote a memoir.
A book?
Yes.
Yeah, it's about Boston Rob wrote a book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we can read from it all season long. Yes. Okay. Elizabeth Beisel on YouTube. You want to hear? I feel like that she's getting snubbed here, but by no video. So let's listen
let's
to Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Beisel on YouTube.
Hey USA, it's Elizabeth Beisel. Olympic trials literally just ended like 20 minutes ago. So now we can all take a deep breath and focus on the Olympics. So tomorrow morning we have a team practice, and it's going to be all of us doing the same thing, just getting to know each other, swimming. And then all day we have processing where we get outfitted with our Nike, Polo Ralph Lauren stuff, just all of our Olympic gear that we're going to have in Rio with us. And then we're going to probably figure out our flights, and we get to fly home for a couple days, sort of regroup. I'll get rid of like my Florida gear because I won't be needing that. And then we fly to San Antonio for a training camp, and then Atlanta for a training camp, and then we'll be heading to Rio and hopefully making you guys proud at the Olympics.
She might be good on The Amazing Race. She has to go to all these different cities.
She's good at the airport.
She's good at the airport, packing.
I bet she's...
They don't swim a lot on The Amazing Race.
They should.
Okay. All right, Nicole. Brett and Chris had to swim a little bit. Didn't go great. Okay. Let's talk about Elizabeth Beisel.
She looks very different.
Only 26
in the videos.
Only 26.
Yeah.
I was surprised. Elizabeth Beisel. And so, Nicole, tell me about what you think about Elizabeth Beisel, the Olympic medalist. She likes to surf. She does violin and wakeboarding.
Ooh.
Okay. Boy, you don't see a lot of violinists on Survivor.
They have two great swimmers on this tribe.
Yes. Okay. So you think that she'll...
One of them's got to go. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, who's the other great swimmer on this tribe?
Isn't it... Oh, no. I guess it was the other tribe. Yeah.
Maybe they'll have a face-off.
So they balance each other out,
maybe,
the tribes.
Maybe Janet... Yeah. I mean, got to think that Elizabeth, who is an Olympic medalist, can take Janet, who's a 59-year-old lifeguard.
Okay. Well, if someone drowns, who are you going to call?
Yeah. I guess, yeah, both would be good if somebody was drowning. But in terms of a race, I think my money's on Elizabeth, with all due respect to Janet.
Well, Janet can swim through waves, I'm sure, and currents and undertows.
Yeah. I mean, I think that Elizabeth's been in the ocean, I bet.
Yes.
You think so? So, all right. Her pet peeves are, I hate when people have conversations while scrolling on their phones. Be present and in the moment without your phone. Oh, well, don't have a conversation with Nicole at the table.
Sorry, I was looking at my phone. What did you say?
Yes. Okay. Nicole, what do we think about Elizabeth?
Well, I think that, you know, she's been to the Olympics. She's she's obviously competitive.
Yeah.
She's used to being on a team.
Yep.
I think that she's going to do fine.
To me, I feel like that she is somebody who seems like she has the least experience with the show. She's
sometimes that's good, though, right?
Yeah, sometimes it's good, but also that she's like had a real taste of the world outside of Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
And so that I think you can have somebody who is not like familiar with this world that can come in and say like, hey, this is my shot. This is my moment to really go for it. Some people wait a lifetime for a moment like this.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Kelly Clarkson.
And for Elizabeth, I feel like that this is just a thing for her. This is just a thing. Hey, I'm gonna go do Survivor, and this, but the swimming is her thing.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know,
so it's just downhill from here for her.
I also feel like that high-performance athletes like Olympians also are what, you know, very they eat a specific way.
Uh-huh.
And also, like, we saw in Big Brother Celebrity this past season when Lolo Jones was competing, Nicole.
Yes.
She wanted to eat her certain, she had to have a certain fish.
Mm-hmm.
And so somebody who's a high performance athlete, I think that she might say, yeah, what do I need this aggravation for?
Is she retired or is she still in the mix with swimming?
I don't know. I don't know if she is. I don't think she's completely out of it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I can't imagine that she's training for an Olympics and then also on Survivor right now.
Yeah, that seems like that would not be a good idea.
Seems counterproductive. Yeah. So I just wonder, you know, that you have to really want it for Survivor. And, you know, it's a long time to be out there.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, when you put it like that, I can totally see your point.
Yeah. So we'll see. What's your primary motivation for being on Survivor? She says, to compete again. I retired from swimming a year ago.
Retired. Okay.
I miss challenging myself and bringing myself to the edge. Second reason, $1 million.
Okay. It is a motivator.
Okay.
I can't believe it's still just $1 million.
Yeah. Okay. Hang in there. Yeah. All right. Nicole, let's take a break from talking economics to
my favorite topic.
Let's get back to the Lero tribe and let's talk about our next person here. And
but do you think that Elizabeth is going to do well? You think she's going to make the merge?
I think that she will be pre-merge.
First one out?
I don't think she'll be first one out.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
But no, I'll say thumbs down.
You want to keep her around for a little bit and she's going to be a good swimmer.
Yeah. All right. Nicole, let's talk about Karishma, okay? And I believe that we have some video to help us set up talking about Karishma. Here is Karishma.
Being an attorney in that courtroom, you are there to present a viewpoint and make people understand it and then agree with it. Here in Survivor, you have the same kind of environment where there's no such thing as fair. The word doesn't exist. Perception is reality. I mean, I'm a master in this bubble.
Karishma is going to be extremely relatable to a lot of women. Maybe for the first time in her life, I'm doing this for me.
I'm here to come out understanding things about myself at the age of 37. I'm not here with the permission of anyone. I'm not here for anybody else. I'm unapologetically here for me and me only. And that's what this means to me.
This is her adventure, and I'm really excited she's out here.
All right, Nicole. We love Karishma.
Yes. I love when Jeff Probst says what women are going to
relate
to. Yes,
that he knows.
Yeah.
He knows because he talks to all the different people on the street.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows. He knows. Okay, yeah. Why? What do you think that women are going to think of Karishma?
I think that she might have a problem with other women. She seems like a very strong person, and that's a good thing.
Problem with other women.
Well, I think that she is going to intimidate other women.
Mm-hmm.
She's strong. She's obviously intelligent. She knows how to speak. She is very persuasive, and that's all intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
I'm intimidated.
Okay. Well, her hobbies include experimental cooking. What's that?
Trying to cook and seeing what happens.
Yeah, you do experimental cooking.
Every night.
Yeah. She likes to host theme parties.
That sounds fun. Theme parties.
I know.
You
don't like anything that Karishma likes. She also likes the Survivor Know-It-Alls, which you don't like.
Oh, Karishma.
She likes reading travel blogs. Her pet peeves are party poopers.
Me.
Girls who play dumb for attention.
Mm.
When the tire hits the curb while parallel parking.
I don't parallel park.
Yeah. Mansplaining. We all hate that.
I'm with you on that.
Okay. Passive aggressive behavior.
Robert.
You just like aggressive behavior. And PDA.
Sorry, we're in love.
Yeah. Okay. One thing you wouldn't know from seeing a photo of her, she's terrified of alligators.
Well, you should be, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You should be. They'll eat
you. I mean, that's right. That's why nature made you afraid of alligators, because they will kill you. Yeah. She's taken the bar in 3 states, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Texas.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So she's doing it for Karishma.
Mm-hmm.
What's best for Karishma? All right. So she is a big super fan.
Yes. I think because she's playing only for herself, I think she's going to play really freaking hard.
Yes. So she is another personal injury lawyer. She must be out early, because that's what you said about Jason, because he's a personal injury lawyer.
You know, I watch a lot of daytime TV and those commercials really get to me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. She describes herself as reliable.
I bet.
Impulsive and charismatic.
I don't believe she's impulsive. I feel like she thinks everything through.
Well, she's out there on Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's somewhat impulsive.
I guess so, yeah.
Okay. All right. So, Nicole, what do you think about Karishma?
I think Karishma is great.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that she possesses some qualities that might not be good in this setting.
Like what? You think
just being so smart and being passionate. I think that she's just going to be aggressive.
Too aggressive.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that might work for her profession and mm-hmm. her life, but I don't think that works well on Survivor.
Well, depends on who she's with.
Yeah.
I feel like that Karishma is smart. I like that she's 37, good age.
It's Rob's favorite age.
That's my favorite age, but it's a good age for Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that she knows what she's doing out there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I didn't hear anything about her necessarily being outdoorsy, or, you know, I used to look for people who are making the fire. I'm not sure necessarily. She doesn't talk about anything that she's doing athletically. So I'm a little worried about her in terms of, you know, everybody is super athletic, but maybe she could be a puzzle person.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
I would like to see someone like her win, though, like an independent, strong woman,
mm-hmm.
just like shutting it down. Like, all right, maybe she's not great at challenges, but she still like bulldozes her way through to win and beat all the dudes. Like, mm-hmm. I would love to see that.
Okay.
But I don't know if America's ready for it.
Yes. She says that she wants to be like a Natalie Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
Who she wasn't afraid to speak her mind, but also made a lot of really subtle moves that kept her on top. Brown girl power.
I could see some Natalie in her.
Go 20.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So like Karishma, I'm hoping she gets to the merge.
I'm hoping too. I'm
going to manifest her getting to the merge.
Yeah, I would like to manifest that too, but I don't think men can handle such a strong female.
All right, well, give some of these guys some credit, Nicole.
No, that's just how your man brains work.
Come on. We're on season 39 of Survivor. No men are ever working with strong women?
Mm, Yeah, I'm the wrong person to ask.
Yeah, what do you stop it. Okay. All right, let's talk about somebody else that I'm very excited to get into. We're going to talk about Missy Bird, Nicole. Let's hear about Missy and what Jeff Probst has to say about Missy.
Missy is a threat to win this game. She's done so much. She's only 24.
I feel like I've lived about four lives. It's been a long, long journey. I like to think I'm decently dope at basketball, but I used that to get a basketball scholarship to the Air Force Academy. I went through basic training, super hard, super grueling, and while attending the academy, I developed a brain tumor. So we started the vitamins. Within 6 months, the tumor had completely dissipated. Right after thinking I was going to die, I'm just taking it all in. Because to me, I just got out of the military yesterday, and now, like, Fiji. Welcome to Fiji.
And if you talk to her for 5 minutes, you could easily go, oh, she's a nice young woman. You talk to her for an hour and 5 minutes, you go, oh, my God, I got to get her out of here. And I think Missy's biggest strength is just saying, what's up? Hey, I'm just going to hang out. That sounds good. Meanwhile, behind the scenes, I could see her engineering a real alliance and driving it.
Hey, what's up? I'm Missy.
Well, he is kind of right. I watched her audition video.
Yeah.
And she just seems like your girl next door. Mm-hmm. She seemed really cool. Someone that you would just want to hang out with.
So I know you didn't listen to her interview with Josh.
I didn't get a chance. She
tells her whole story. I don't know how much you know about her story with the brain tumor.
I don't know too much about it.
So she had a brain tumor, and I hope I'm not explaining this.
Are you mansplaining? Wrong.
I am a man. I am explaining something, but it's not something that I'm just telling you something that you didn't know. I don't know if that technically qualifies that.
I guess it's not.
Yeah. So she ended up having a lot of symptoms that were odd symptoms where that her body was doing weird things, things that usually only happen to pregnant women. And again, nobody wants to hear me talk about this.
But, I'm curious.
I'll play Josh Wigler's interview.
Because I had really weird things happen to me when I was pregnant.
Yes. Well, weird things that happened to you when you were pregnant, they were happening to Missy. And it was because that she had this brain tumor, which was, I am not a doctor like you. I'm not a medical person. But from what I understand, that because this mass was growing in her brain, it was like pushing on things that were tricking her brain into thinking that she was pregnant. And
that's crazy.
It took a very long time for them to diagnose that. She lost her father during that time. Aww. And it was like, but like emotionally, like it didn't even register with her. And so they ended up eventually, after a very long time, discovering that, and it really held her back in her career. I believe that she was in the Air Force. Yeah, mm-hmm. I wanted to make sure I had the right branch of the military. And so then after that, it really changed her outlook on life, that she's really like living for today. She goes to a Beyonce concert if she feels like it now, because she knows how close she came to ultimately not making it. I mean, it's an amazing story that Missy ends up getting into with Josh. So Missy's incredible.
I can just like hear in my head Josh's reactions to these stories.
She's also a Survivor fan. Yeah. She talks about how that the Air Force base that she was at happened to be the same Air Force base that Sandra was at. She said that prior to knowing Sandra was going to be part of this season. It wasn't like that. Sandra told me she was at the same Air Force base. She knew that going in before knowing Rob and Sandra are part of the season.
Wow, that's crazy.
So she is a big fan of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And she has this amazing backstory. And so, Nicole, she likes hiking, traveling, immersing herself in the culture she's visiting, and winning.
Yes.
Her pet peeves are annoying human beings. I'm with you on that.
Amen.
Yeah. Three words to describe you. Relentless, clever, and decently dope. She said in that clip that she was decently dope at basketball.
I want to be able to say dope. Like, can I say that? Do I have the street cred to say that?
I mean, we can try it.
Like, is it just for young people? Can mm-hmm. I say it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to say it.
What Survivor contestant are you most like? She said, Kim, that's my dope. Girl is a legend. She hit the sand in a line quickly. She played both sides effortlessly. I would like to play like this. Kill him with a smile.
She, in her audition video, she was sitting down on a couch with like her chin in her hands watching Kim on Kim, the show.
Yeah. Kim Spradlin.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Nicole. So why don't we talk about Missy? What do you think about Missy?
Missy is great.
Yes.
She's amazing. She's going to be great at challenges. She's going to be great socially. She's got great stories. She listens. I think she's going to be great.
Okay. What about the final three?
And we'll just show up.
Yes. Oh. Does Missy have a winner upside, do you feel like?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. All right.
I have a really good feeling about Missy.
She also is, and we haven't really talked about this, that she is a threat to win challenges also.
For sure. She's dope at basketball.
Decently dope.
Yeah.
Decently dope. She enjoys a hot cup of tea and a good book.
I bet she spills that tea too.
She thinks so?
Yeah. She doesn't give an
she's
F.
She's a tea spiller?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, really like Missy. Think she's gonna go far in the game. In some of her pregame interviews, Lauren talks about how she wants to team up with Missy. So that could be a cross-tribal alliance as well. So keep an eye out for Missy. All right, Nicole. Three people left. Let's talk about Ronnie. All right, Nicole. Do you have anything about Ronnie Barda, who I do not believe yet has a video that is posted on the Survivor Instagram?
Well, that's
actually
a bummer.
I think that the last three people we're going to talk about so far have gotten the short end of the stick. Mm-hmm. No more Instagram videos for the cast.
Yeah.
Sorry. Maybe they're going alphabetical order. Okay. Yeah. All right. Nicole, let's talk a little bit about Mr. Ronnie Barda. He is a professional poker player.
Can I tell you what I learned about him?
Sure.
Okay. So he's a professional poker player.
Yes.
He's like a champion in the World Series of Poker. Mm-hmm. And he lost this really big, I don't know, do they call it match or game or whatever it is?
Hand, yeah.
Whatever okay. this. He lost like the whole thing.
Tournament, sure.
To the tournament to a model.
Yes.
When she did a really big bluff on him and she had nothing and he had an amazing hand.
And John Robert from Survivor China was there.
Was he?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, he tells that story with Josh as well. Yeah.
Oh, he does?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's, I guess, a famous video of Mr. Ronnie Barda, the 35-year-old from Brockton, Massachusetts. He likes kickboxing, beatboxing, and hiking. Not a lot of people combine kickboxing and beatboxing.
Well, I don't think you can do it at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably hard to breathe.
Yeah. When people try to enter the elevator just as he's trying to exit, that's one of his pet peeves. Also,
so that's mine too.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Yeah. What do?
I give them dirty looks.
Mm-hmm. He also hates watching somebody misplay a hidden immunity aisle. It makes him nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think he should worry about what he's misplaying.
What do you think? Oh, his hand?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're giving him poker shade? Okay. So, Nicole, what do you think about Ronnie? I mean, the history of poker players on Survivor is not a great one.
Yeah.
Boston Rob famously has gone on to play some poker in... he went... Really, after he played in Survivor All-Stars, started to really get into playing poker, that they was on the Rob and Amber Against the Odds.
That wonderful
where they
show.
Moved to Las Vegas, and Rob learned poker from Daniel Negreanu. And so Boston Rob, a very prolific poker player, I'm sure that Ronnie would love to pick his brain out there.
Yes, but I feel like Boston Rob will hold him to a higher standard than,
yeah,
right?
I'm holding you to a higher standard than the rest of these people. I heard you lost to a model. Okay. So did I, also.
What?
That's story of my survivor.
Oh.
Yeah. All right. Nicole, it happens. Well, it happens. Sometimes you don't suspect the model is going to win.
Yeah.
All right. Nicole, what do you think about Ronnie? Can he do it? Are people going to be suspicious of him?
Like, yes.
Of
course they are.
Hmm. So you think that he's in trouble?
Yeah, I mean, you got a bunch of Survivor fans on this tribe. They're going to be on to him.
They're going to be on to him.
Yeah, they know better than this.
Okay, so what do you think Ronnie can do?
I think he's just going to have to play a really good social game.
Okay, all right.
I mean, he doesn't seem like he's going to stand out in the challenges with his tribe mates.
No. I don't know if he's going to be a slouch in the challenges, but he's certainly, you know, not one of the people where you're going to look at him and say, okay, massive
we gotta keep him.
Physical threat.
Yeah.
What Survivor contestant are you most like? He says Jeremy Collins, because he's charismatic, loyal, compassionate, and can read players so well strategically. My approach would be like a hybrid of Devin Pinto bluffing the dumb roll sneakily well, and Boston Rob, impeccable timing and making big moves and sniffing out people who are up to something.
Doesn't Devin Pinto and Boston Rob then negate each other and that just makes him no one?
Yeah, it's hard to be a hybrid. can you be a hybrid?
Can you be polar opposites?
Of Devin Pinto and also Boston Rob.
That is not an advantage.
Yeah, probably not. Okay. So, Nicole, what do you think? Yeah, I feel like you're down on Ronnie.
I just feel like he might come across as like the sneaky guy trying to, you know, strategize. He's the poker player. No one's going to trust the poker player. And he's not going to be the guy that really stands out in the challenge. I think they'll be on to him.
Mm. Okay, so you think he's the up for the merch?
I think so.
Okay. I feel like he's making the merge, but I don't know if he can necessarily pull this whole thing off.
I feel like Missy's going to be like, you are out of here.
You're out of here.
Yeah. Okay. She's not putting up with that.
All right. So, Nicole, let's talk about, we have two people left here in the Laro tribe. Let's talk about Tom Laidlaw. He is our 60-year-old. Sorry,
I don't mean to of age you. Russia?
No, that.
That's someone else.
Tom Laidlaw. He is our Canadian Survivor player, and
I didn't know that was allowed.
It is now.
Uh huh.
It is now. They changed it up. All right. So here he is. I got a text alert on my phone. Like, what did 700 NHL games do to get Laidlaw ready to play on Survivor?
700 games?
Yeah, I think so.
That's a lot of games.
Yeah, so there you go.
That's a lot of punches to the face, too, I'm sure.
I'm not sure. Was he a big fighter, Tom Laidlaw? All right. That he is from Brampton, Ontario, Canada. That feels weird to say about Survivors.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
but he lives in Greenwich, Connecticut. He likes, his hobbies are watching Survivor, anything fitness, and hanging with people I love. His pet peeves are people driving slow in the fast lane.
It's the second time we've heard that.
Yes.
A lot of judgy Judgersons here.
Everybody likes everybody going fast. Which Survivor contestant are you most like? Ben the Marine. He did whatever he had
did
to do. He
did whatever
he had to do. So there you go. I play in a fantasy football league with him.
Is he good?
No, he's doing good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He seems like a nice guy.
Who? Tom Laidlaw or Ben Dreeberger?
Ben.
Yeah. People like him.
Yeah.
Okay. Nicole. Let's talk about Tom Laidlaw. How do you think he's going to fit in?
He doesn't have a video, right?
I don't have a video. I mean, maybe we have a video of his NHL playing.
Well, I did see a commercial with him. But from what I see in this picture, I see like this very strong, tough man that doesn't take any crap. And probably doesn't like young people.
Here, I have a video for you from, I believe this is from ET Canada, of Tom Laidlaw on being the first Canadian Survivor castaway, making history.
After 38 seasons, Survivor still manages to reinvent how the game is played. And this season, we have someone we could all collectively cheer on. The first ever Canadian castaway.
Who's Arissa?
It's been great.
Pregnant.
She's pregnant.
Because Canada, I feel love from Canada. Yeah. We've always felt it. We've always known that Canadians love Survivor. And we finally got a chance to put Canadians on the show.
Yeah, I know.
And the door's open. We put a Canadian on the show.
And how was that?
Oh, Tom's awesome.
It's pretty exciting to be the first Canadian that's ever played the game. I'm Tom Laidlaw. I'm 60 years old. I'm a former National Hockey League player, and I grew up in Brampton, Ontario. Growing up in Canada has really made a big difference in my life. You know, hockey was such a big part of my life, and hockey is such a big part of the culture in Canada. I learned my work ethic there. I learned how to fight through things all through hockey and the, you know, the people around me, particularly my father and grandfather. So I wouldn't be where I was if I hadn't grown up in Canada, both as a hockey player and having the work ethic to do the other things that I've done in my life.
Okay. All right, Tom Laidlaw, Nicole.
He sounds very different than what I picture in his picture.
Yes.
From his picture.
More soft-spoken.
Yes. I saw a commercial of him lying in a bed.
Lying in a bed?
he was like in a commercial for some kind of bed.
A commercial for some kind of bed?
He was...
It wasn't a Survivor commercial?
No, it was a real commercial.
Hi, I'm Tom Laidlaw.
And I like this bed.
Yes, and I sleep on a purple mattress. So comfortable.
Yes.
It's like nothing else you've ever felt before.
I'm not going there.
Okay. All right. Nicole, what do you think about Tom Laidlaw?
I don't know. I feel like I really need to reassess this now because he's not the person I thought he was.
Well, I feel like he's an older guy. He's used to being on sports teams. I feel like he's going to have more of a bond with the guys on the tribe than necessarily that some of the younger women mm-hmm. on the tribe. He has two sons.
Oh, he doesn't have daughters.
Yeah, I feel like that the people, like we had like Carl where... people that have like a daughter, like the age of the players, it's like, oh, she reminds me of my daughter. So yeah. he doesn't even have that. So I feel like that he's going to get along better with the guys in this group.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anybody here is going to be a big time NHL fan, but maybe there's other sporting interests that can get along with this group.
I'm sure he's got a lot of good stories.
A lot of good stories, I'm sure. So, yeah, I feel like that Tom is going to be around, but I don't know if he's going to go the distance.
Yeah.
Okay? All right.
You think he'll be like the grumpy old guy?
I don't think he's going to be that grumpy.
In my head, that's what I thought, but I don't. After seeing his videos and hearing his voice, I'm not sure.
But what I do say about Survivor is that it's very uncomfortable. And if you are a person of means, and like I said with Elizabeth, where if... you have already tasted success in another area of your life, like professional sports. See somebody like Jimmy Johnson,
mm-hmm.
who thought he really wanted to be on Survivor until he was out there for, 7-8 days, and then realized, like, what am I doing here? Like,
have a nice life at home.
I have a nice life. I don't need this money to be comfortable,
mm-hmm.
and I shouldn't be here. That maybe there's things that the people like the adventure or what, but for Tom, yeah, I don't know. I'm not gonna think that he's gonna be the winner of our season.
Mm-hmm. I don't think he's the winner.
All right.
Yeah.
And then Nicole, we have one more person to talk about. Let's talk about Vince. Vince, did you watch any videos about Vince?
I have to get to my notes about Vince and show me a picture of him.
All right. I mean, the only person that we haven't talked about...
like that means anything to me.
...yet, okay? Here is Vince, all the way over here on the right.
Yes.
Vince is 27.
Yes.
Okay? Vince, also, he
is
likes...
a super fan.
Super fan. He likes to sing. He likes photography. He likes thrifting. He hangs out with Macklemore.
I knew you were going to say that.
That he likes to go hunting for cool and unique cafes also.
Cool.
Much like when I travel with Stephen Fishback and he can't just get coffee from the Starbucks in the hotel.
Oh, let's not go there.
He needs to go and find highest rated coffee shop in the city.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Pet peeves are when people are flaky and don't follow through with their promises. I'll get used to that.
Yeah.
When people don't understand that the middle seat passenger has rights to both armrests.
Who made that rule?
When people tell him, wow, your English is really good, and follow with, where did you learn English? When people dismiss and or invalidate my lived experience as a person of color.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. His three words to describe you are shamelessly me, quick-witted, and not afraid to flip tables.
Ooh.
Boy.
Is that like a housewife?
Yeah. Teresa G. Dice.
Whatever.
Okay. So he has the longest bio of the cast, I think, by far.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's the character that you most like? Vince is Vince. Survivor ain't never had anybody like me before.
I hate that answer.
If I had to choose, I'd say a mix of she and Huang, because she didn't let anybody mess with her. The she-devil. Cerie Fields, because she's humble, analytical, strategic, and inspirational. And Natalie Anderson, because she was loyal, innovative, and an overall boss.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So Vince is very opinionated. I think he had the most pet peeves out of anybody from the cast.
My pet peeve is people with a lot of pet peeves.
Ideally, a great Survivor player does not have many pet peeves.
Can let things just roll off.
The greatest Survivor players might have like one or two things, yeah. But not like a long list, many things. We like somebody who's a little bit more
easygoing,
flexible.
Easygoing, yeah. Yes.
Ideally, we don't want somebody who will flip tables.
Not for this show. And I don't think you get tables.
You don't. If you had a table, you should really, as Chelsea said, respect the wood. Respect the wood. The last thing you should do as a survivor is flip the table over.
Okay.
You don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
Is he going to flip the shelter?
Now, I don't know. He does like hunting for cool cafes. We'll see how that translates to immunity idols.
Mm.
Okay. So Vince Moa, Nicole, how are you feeling about Vince?
I think he's going to certainly stand out on this tribe.
Yes. Second survivor, Vince.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Vince
Sly. That one didn't do so good.
No. No.
Is this a Vince curse?
Okay. Could it be a Vince curse?
Maybe.
Will Vince... Okay. So here's the question for you. Will Vince Mawa become best survivor Vince?
When was Vince number one?
Second.
I don't know.
Yes. Okay.
I think it might be close.
Could be close.
I think it might be close.
That's going to be... We'll see.
Yeah, I think that of all seasons for him to be on, this isn't a good one for him.
Hmm.
With okay. The cast.
All right. Yeah, I feel like that I'm worried here about Vince. Mm-hmm. I would like nothing more than Vince to go far in the game.
For sure.
I'm worried about what's going on with Vince.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Very concerned. He could babysit.
Oh, he would definitely babysit.
He'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. I'm worried.
Yeah.
I'm worried.
Although he doesn't look like he's going to get hangry, which is a good thing.
No, probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
We may have a Shein podcast coming up soon for
Vince.
Vince. For Vince.
So you're welcome.
Hang in there, Vince. Yeah. Hang in there. We got something for you. Okay. All right. Hang in there for your next Talking with T-Bird. Be on the lookout. All right, Nicole. So there you have it. That was 20.
That's it?
That's it.
I still have more wine left.
You said more. Well, you want to talk about Boston Rob and Sandra?
Well, I think we have talked enough about those two.
Hey, yeah, there's not enough. Yeah.
I'm very excited to see Sandra back.
Yes, not Boston Rob. You've
known Boston Rob too.
You've known Boston Rob for how many years?
But he cost us a lot of money.
Wow, so you're still mad at him.
A little mad.
You're still mad at him.
Yeah.
Let's see. What's Rob and Sandra up to? Okay. All right. Here's Rob and Sandra.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Let's kick it off. We're back.
Day one of... Oh.
They tricked us. It was this was clickbait.
Yeah.
It was a Robin Sandra thumbnail, but I think it was a hype video for all things CBS.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we heard about the neighborhood.
Yeah.
All right. Nicole, so it's time to pick a winner.
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know.
Okay.
I do have it narrowed down to three people.
Three people.
Three.
Okay. Are the three people, how many men and how many women?
Two men, one woman.
Two men, one woman. I'm sort of really of two minds here because we've had now four seasons in a row of...
Men.
All men winning the game.
Yeah.
Is it four? That 35, 36, 37, 38. Yeah, four in a row. And if another man wins, I think that's going to be the longest stretch in the show's history.
So my girl better win.
So I kind of feel like that a girl, a woman will end up winning this season, but maybe it's that with the Final Four fire making, it's going to, I mean, I think that that plays a part in it. But is it going to, are we going to buck the trend?
I hope so.
Yeah.
All right. You want to hear my three?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Let's hear it. I think that the law, so I think that we had in terms of back-to-back male winners that I believe from Survivor 12, 13, 14, 15. So that was the previous record for most times in a row a man has won the season.
Mm-hmm.
Four times in a row. So this would be history and trend. I don't think that Survivor is would be too excited about.
Yeah.
To have, basically, it's been going on 3 years since a woman has won. All right.
Okay, so here are my three.
Yes.
First one that I thought right away was Tommy the teacher.
Tommy! I'm obsessed with Tommy! Okay, all right.
For obvious reasons.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I very, very solid winner pick.
Yeah.
Okay.
Number two.
Yes.
Jamal.
Jamal.
Yeah.
Okay. Lots of like with Jamal.
But I think for obvious reasons too, for Jamal.
Yes. Okay.
And
do you have somebody for not obvious reasons?
No.
Okay.
And my woman, my girl,
mm-hmm.
is Missy because she's dope.
Missy, decently dope.
No, she's real dope.
You know, you used to be dope at picking the winners. I'd say you're probably decently dope at this point. I mean, we're going on about 4 years since you used to be Nicole Stradamus. Really, during the 20s was really, the 20s and into the 30s, that was really.
Well, you know what my process was, though?
I think that you had kids and then you stunk after that.
I stink at a lot of things now that I have kids.
In fact, I don't know.
I had two back to back. Like, who does
you
that? Know,
actually, you were okay when you had just one kid.
Yes. Anthony just roofed
then everything. Anthony came along. Like, actually, once Dominic came into the world, you kind of got hot there for a while. I think when you went back to back with Mike Holloway and Jeremy Collins. And so it wasn't until Anthony comes along during Second Chances. You'd already picked Jeremy Collins before that.
Yeah.
But then since Anthony was born, who's going to be 4 years old this fall, you have not, you actually been ice cold. Who'd you pick last season?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
Should I give him away?
Should you give him away?
My child?
Oh, no. No, I think keep him.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, Nicole, What's it going to be?
Do you do yours?
Okay. So, yeah, I think that Tommy is an easy one. I think that he should be a finalist.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like that he has the physicality, but
the
also
moms will love him.
The likability as well. He's not as big as some of the biggest people that are out there.
But he could hold his own.
Certainly could hold his own. And so I think that he is going to be in the mix. And then I am going to say Chelsea is somebody.
That's a good one.
That I'm thinking. And then also I'm going to say Lauren is somebody that...
I like Lauren, too. She was in the running.
Okay. All right, Nicole. It's time to pick a winner and curse one of these people that they will not win once I pick them.
I'm just going to say the first person that struck my eye...
Yes.
Was Tommy.
Yes.
So I'm going to go with Tommy.
Tommy.
Yeah.
All right. Nicole is locking in
on Tommy. But let it be known, I had my other two.
Okay. Let it be known.
Let
All
it
right.
be known.
I am going to go with Chelsea. Okay?
Ooh la la.
Lock that in for Chelsea Walker. All right? There you go, Nicole.
I cannot stop laughing every time I hear her name now.
Okay, it's only funny to us. Okay, all right. So Nicole, what else do we have to do?
I think we're done.
I think that's it. Yeah. All right. So this was very fun to get to catch up. Two some odd hours here talking Survivor with you, just like the good old days.
Just like, yeah.
Just like the good old days, of course.
I had a good talk with Dominic today about how I used to be your co-host because he didn't understand why I was on a t-shirt with you.
The old t-shirts. Yeah. Yes. All right. So that was how this podcast started way back when. Of course, in February, we will be celebrating 10 years of Rob Has a Podcast, believe it or not, when we started things off at Heroes versus Villains. This is a very special season to me, season 39, because this is the first season now that there is going to be more seasons that Rob Has a Podcast has had podcasts for than seasons without Rob Has a Podcast.
Yeah, that's monumental.
1 through 19 had no Rob Has a Podcast. A couple of them had me in it, but there was no Rob Has a Podcast.
So you get credit.
Seasons 20 through 39 now have had Rob Has a Podcast. Mm-hmm. So we've now reached a tipping point that there's more Survivor with RHAP than without. Which is kind of crazy.
Amazing.
Which is kind of crazy. Because I kind of felt like that when I started.
Like, who knew that this would happen?
I was like, oh, we got in right at the end. Too bad we didn't start earlier. But now there's more Survivor with RHAP, which is really phenomenal to think about it. And of course, that we could not have done this over these last couple of years without the support of the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast that, I don't talk about it a ton at the top of the shows, but the way that we make this all work is that we get incredible support from the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. Those are the people that are enjoying everything that we're doing so much here on the podcast that they want even more, because of Rob Has a Podcast. Being a patron is all about getting connected around this crazy world of reality TV. That means getting closer to the shows and getting closer to the other people out there in this fan universe who also care about these shows as much as you do. And of course, you guys who are the patrons get to hear from Nicole every single week on our Patron 5 for 5. We have our monthly Patron Cast call where I take calls from the listeners for hours and hours, getting into everything that you want to talk about, whether it's about the shows themselves, whether it's about Rob's Podcast, or what's going on behind the scenes. We have a weekly Facebook Friday in our Facebook group, which has about 1,500 members strong in our patron Facebook group, and much more access to early tickets for the live shows and many other benefits, all at robhasawebsite.com/patron.
And you get to listen to me.
It's listen to Nicole.
For like an hour every week.
As well. Yeah. Get to hear when Nicole talking about God knows what week, week after week. Very excited to get back into everything coming up with the Survivor premiere. And we're going to have incredible coverage this season. I am planning on Wednesday night, though. I have one last obligation to take care of in terms of covering the Big Brother finale. I will not be with you for Survivor Know-It-Alls on the first night out. Stephen Fishback is going to have our Survivor Know-It-Alls covered.
With who?
With Dominic Abate.
Ooh.
So Stephen Fishback and Dominic are going to cover the Survivor Know-It-Alls.
Mm-hmm.
And then I will have all of the podcasts coming up later on in the week as I'm going to be headed off to the Big Brother finale once again, Nicole.
When is it?
Wednesday.
Oh, okay.
Well, how are you heading to know this?
Okay, well, yeah, makes
Wednesday,
sense.
Wednesday, September 25th.
Is on, when, I hope I don't have anything to do that night.
And then you don't have anything to do that night.
I hope I don't have anything to do that night.
Okay. All right. Yeah. It's the busiest night of the year for me.
I know.
All right. And so we have all that and much more coming up on Rob Has a Podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening to this very long Survivor preview. Nicole, this is so much fun to get to hear what you have to say about all these different people. I never know what you're going to say.
Ever.
Ever. Especially when we do stuff like this. Nicole, is there anything that you want to tell people?
I'm good.
Okay.
I really don't have much.
Follow Nicole on Twitter.
Nicole says what?
Nicole says what? And on Instagram. Nicole's prolific on Instagram.
I wouldn't say I'm prolific.
Nicole's always getting on me that I don't do Instagram.
I give him ideas on what to do, and he just doesn't listen to me.
Yeah, she says, your Instagram is trash. Constantly.
Put down the phone. Yeah, you're trash.
Like, well, I'm focused on the podcast.
Well, you need to tell people on Instagram what you're doing. That's the point of it.
People want to hear about podcasts. I don't want to be spammy.
People follow you because they're interested. If they didn't want to know anything, they wouldn't follow you.
I feel like they want me to do something funny.
They want you to be you.
Okay. All right, I'm working on it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so of course, follow Nicole on Instagram. I am at Rob Sestrino on Twitter and at Rob Sestrino on Instagram.
I'm Nicole Sestrino on Instagram. You didn't even say that.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I throw it to you that you give out your own
social. You didn't give me a chance when you
I'm sorry.
Throw it out.
I'm sorry.
You didn't throw
Please.
It.
Okay.
I didn't catch it.
All right, Nicole, what other things should people follow of yours?
That's really all I got.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any other good stories that you want to tell people?
No.
That's it? Anything else funny happened today?
Today, nothing really that interesting happened, I don't think.
You don't think?
I have the worst short-term memory, so I have no idea what happened today.
Okay. All right. Anything with your mom friends?
Oh, we saved those for the patron five for okay. five.
All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. Do you have a hashtag, Nicole?
No, I don't have a hashtag.
None?
No.
Okay.
Do you?
No,
that's... Respect Wood?
Okay. All right. There you go. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye, guys.